sports 11:40.
We do believe that racial and ethnic intolerance is unacceptable on or off the air. We made a mistake, and we want to restate our remorse for our insensitivity. We sincerely want to apologize once again to anyone who was offended, Hispanic or non-Hispanic, and especially to Flora Barton, the city commissioner who took her call at City Hall and was the unfortunate recipient of our inappropriate actions. We are very sorry for that, and we thank you.
Now it's time for another Spenshmabulous episode.
What is your reaction to the comments that you are just a flash in the pan?
Maybe they're right. Nobody knows, in fact. If I knew, I would do. I would be a mastermind. I'm not.
Everybody loves daughter bike. Everybody loves daughter bike.
Everybody keep cool. Everybody keep cool.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
Everybody loves daughter bike.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
This is the spot. Oh, let me play this intro.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
If I could take it away, I would be a mastermind.
There you go.
Which I'm not. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Volvadinia and all the ships at sea. It's even more erotic than the Pope's nailless toes. Tom and Mike show.
Yeah.
Thank you, Robbie.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Rob.
And beloved, thank you for listening. Coast to coast and still nationwide. And still, Via, our ex-wife, soon to be our remarried wife.
Right.
Westwood One.
Sweeter the second time around.
You know, we're like one of those kooky Hollywood couples that divorces their wife, then like a month later marries the same bitch all over again.
Yeah, and the wedding was real sweet this time.
Yep, we're in love with Westwood One again. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara right here. That's why every day we insist you refer to it as your Cotton Pickin' Don and Mike show.
Nothing like a wedding.
And I think you know the regular cast of characters. There's Kenny.
Yep.
Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
Melly.
Right.
And Donnie. There it is. Donnie E. from that is.
Right.
Word of advice now for soccer moms. Please, I hope you've taken this opportunity to take Junior and Missy Movement way to the back of your minivans where I have just whipped this thing out.
It looks a little yellow to me.
Well, Mike, I didn't bathe today.
Oh, my God.
No, I bathed.
Oh, dear.
I bathed.
Did you wash down there?
Let me think.
Yes.
Yes, I did.
Good for you.
But not the bad place.
Not behind, no, man.
Didn't wash my butt again.
There you go.
Another perfect leg. Skill over the big time. Major Martin, radio show. We are proud to be affiliated with the Westwood One Network. As a matter of fact, I would say now that we are one of the jewels in the Westwood One crown.
I agree, and we are a happy jewel for the moment.
Yeah, 5 million Arbitron-rated listeners strong, and we thank you for your patronage. Here he is to my left and to your right. Look at him just oozing and seeping. There is our friend, Buzz the Elston Slayer. Hello, Siffy.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Sippage.
Hi. Our good friend, Guy J. Birdley, right there. And today is the 5th of October. And the phone number, as always, is 1-877-365-3636.
Oh, yes.
Now, today we've got a ton of stuff. I don't know. You know, if we don't start with the tape of Homo Joe and Dennis and Cheryl the Big Dyke playing drag bingo.
Sure.
I bet it's going to be like yesterday with Rob's tapes. You know, the show will be 3 hours long and then we won't have any time for it.
Right.
Well, we really should. That's the disciplined thing to do.
So maybe you should rack that up, Rob.
All right.
Why don't you rack that up? Oh, but you know what? Before you rack that up, do you have my voodoo for Mark Brunel?
Oh, yeah. I've got.
Let me see that, because I want to send that out to that prick today.
All right, now you got rid of him yesterday.
I know. Oh, and for those of you, and shame on you if you didn't listen to the whole show yesterday, near the end of yesterday's show, I finally unloaded my favorite mistake, as Sheryl Crow would say, Mark Brunel.
That's right.
I wash my hands of that prick. I'm done with him. I traded him to Mike for Troy Aikman.
And he might not be with me all that long.
Well, good, Mike. I'd urge you to move him along as fast as you can.
I got several things that I'm trying to work on because, you know, and I'm praying that Steve Young comes back and doesn't go, hello there, Coach Maraguchi.
But nonetheless, I'm still pissed at Mark Brunel. Mark Brunel is a single reason that my fantasy team has started the year
0-4, and last week, after I sent him that incredible box full of Jesus loves all the little children stuff,
he didn't get any points for you, even though Jacksonville won, I think, 17-3.
He threw for 85 yards.
Right.
So even though he's on your team now, and I wish you nothing but the best, and like I told you yesterday, I mean this, you're a buddy for making that trade because you don't know how you elevated my mood.
I do know because I know what it's like when it gets personal with a player, and I know what it's like when you're playing fantasy football, and there's one particular player who you're counting on, and every single week he lets you down. And so I can relate to that situation. But I also thought that, Troy Aikman was my backup, and I traded a backup for a backup.
I'll take it. Oh, hold on. Before we do this?
Yes.
Thomas Aloysius Gavin is mad. Tag.
Oh,
let's
really?
See why Tom Gavin is mad. Hello, Tom.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. Why are you mad?
Because I just talked to somebody and they said this place is a group home. It's not. It's like a...
What?
It's an independent living place.
Now, are you mad like...
No.
Someone who's mad, like, you know, he's mad, man. Like,
no,
someone who's
mad, man. Murphy, are you angry?
Yeah, I'm angry.
Why are you angry, Tom?
Because Dennis Murphy went to Mike's place to spend the night.
No, he didn't go yet, Tom.
That's this weekend, Tom.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why don't you send me instead of him?
Oh, gee. Well, Tom.
I'm better than he is.
No, you're not.
Well, Tom.
Oh, yes,
I am. No, I mean it this time. No, you're not.
Maybe next year, if we come up with another kooky bet, maybe somehow you'll be involved.
We'd never make that bet.
No, we'd never make
that
bet.
That's too cruel.
To spend the night with Tom Gavin.
Nothing would compare to that.
No,
nothing in a million years would compare to that.
But, Tom, maybe we can come up with some side bet, whereas, like, one of us would have to, I don't know, sit in a room with you for 5 minutes or something.
That could be a bet.
Yeah.
Yep, that could be a bet.
Yeah,
it could be.
But is that why you're mad?
Yeah, somebody down... You know, Marvin, the mailman downstairs?
No.
Yes?
He says somebody told him this place I live in is a group home.
Tommy, I called it a group home last week.
It's not. It's an independent living place. For senior citizen and handicapped.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's not a group home.
No.
You live by yourself. I mean, you live with your mom.
Which are you, Tom?
I live by myself.
Oh, Tom, you live by yourself.
Tom, which are you?
What?
Which are you?
Are you a senior citizen or handicapped?
Handicapped person.
Oh, you are.
Okay.
All right. Very good.
How you guys doing today?
How you doing, buddy?
We're doing great.
How you doing, buddy?
Well, Tom,
saw something.
Tom, you know, the only reason that we thought it was a group home was that you mentioned that every Wednesday you go downstairs and have, a big group breakfast.
Eggs and sausages and potatoes.
That's for the guys.
Aren't you
Is this the guys? I have morning breakfast with the guys.
Yeah. Is this the guys who are friends of yours?
Yeah.
They live in the same assisted living facility?
Yes, they do.
Uh-huh.
All right, well then, I guess in very broad strokes, it would be a group house, and it would be a group breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you have that this morning?
No, I didn't.
I think it's Wednesday morning when he has his group breakfast.
Wednesday morning. Every Wednesday morning.
Wednesday. Got to know your Tom Gavin trivia, Mike.
Every Wednesday morning you look forward to your big group breakfast?
Yes, I do.
Tom, spell Wednesday for us, will you please?
Oh, Buzz. Give it to him again, Buzzy.
Wednesday. Would you spell Wednesday for us?
Wednesday.
Perfect.
Yeah, once again, Buzz.
Amazing.
Showing you the way.
Incredible. Wednesday, that's pretty good.
He knows how to spell it.
That's pretty good. You know, that's right out of the calendar. Can you spell calendar?
Calendar is C-O-N-T-E-R.
Perfect.
Right.
Conter.
Amazing. Right. Well, Tommy, I hope you're no longer mad.
Nope, I'm not. I just want to know when I come in and help do the show like Buzz does, like the news and stuff.
We're just so glad you're not angry. Could you spell angry for me, please?
A-G-E-R-S.
Right.
He's incredible.
Right. And Tom,
Agers.
I could never be Agers at you, Tom. Never, Tom. You're my favorite.
I know. What's the next Las Vegas style?
A couple of weeks. As a matter of fact, I'm waiting for the producer to bring me in the index card that has the information.
Check the counter because it's Wednesday and I'm Agers.
I know where it can be.
You know what, Tom? I think you might be wrong about that. I know I gave you credit before. Hey, where is Broyo? Will someone find Broyo? I'm supposed to have that information about the next Las Vegas style show.
Supposed to have it today, right?
Yeah. I want to announce it because the show is like less than 2 weeks away.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have all that video of Dennis being dressed up like a girl to play gay bingo. Mm-hmm.
All that and a bag of chips.
Tom, is that where a lot of your ages comes from? A lot of your anger, does it come from the fact that Dennis gets so much time on this show?
Yes, he does.
Yeah. Why, because you think you're better than Dennis?
Yes, I am.
Could you tell us why you're better than Dennis, please?
Because I go out to all these bars and I do like announce the bands and stuff.
You do a what?
I announce the bands. I go out and
you announce the bands.
Yeah, I go out.
You ever announce the Stones?
What?
You ever announce for the Stones?
No, I don't.
What do you? Can you give us a little example of what it sounds like when you announce a band?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to JV's Restaurant, Geelong, Virginia band.
Very good.
Let me hear you announce the Backstreet Boys.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Capitol Ballroom, Backstreet Boys.
Excellent. Let me hear you.
Ready.
Let me hear you introduce NSYNC.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
JV's.
JV's Backstreet Boys.
No.
In the street.
You're in sync. It in seems sync. To me that the name of the place and the band is running together.
All right, I'm going to give you a tough one, Tom.
All right.
Now, you're introducing at Madison Square Garden.
Madison Square Garden.
Britney Spears.
Go ahead.
Good evening. Welcome to Madison Square Garden. Whitney Spears.
Very good. There you go.
And tell me another one.
Give me another one. Okay.
Okay.
How about porn star Jenna Jameson?
No, down in D.C., just one of the new nightclubs.
Are you picked a nightclub, but have the person you're introducing be porn star Jenna Jameson.
Okay, this is at the Garage Nightclub.
And ad lib, Tom. You know, make something up about her. All right, Tom, you're on.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Garage Nightclub, Genesee Spears.
Genesee Spears. That's great. Spears. Welcome her. That's a good name, though.
Tom, try it with porn star Jenna Jameson.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Garage Nightclub. Genesee Spears porn.
Perfect.
Yeah, he's amazing.
There you go. Nobody does it like you do.
Okay, try from King of Queens, here's Leah Remini.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to MCI Center, Leonard and Queers.
What was that? No. Tom, we want you to introduce the celebrity you're introducing is Leah Remini from the TV show King of Queens.
On CBS.
That's a hard one. Give me a...
Going to overload him, my ass.
I know. It's the idea.
Just Leah Remini.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to MCI Center. Leah Remini on CBS.
Very good.
All right. Yeah.
Very nice. You're very good at that.
Charlie Broyhill has joined us now.
What's up, Frank?
Charlie, do you have the information about the next Vegas-style show yet?
I hate to sound like Tom Gavin, but it will be at the Garage on October 20th.
So he did have it correct.
He had it right on.
He had it correct.
At the Garage Nightclub.
Yes. Tom, where is the Garage Nightclub located?
The Garage Nightclub is on 18th and I Street, down D.C., right around the corner from the old D.C. 101 station.
Is he right?
Is it in Virginia or is it
in D.C.?
No, it's in D.C.
Okay. It is in D.C.
Is she right?
I don't know. Is he right about the address?
Haven't found that out yet.
So Tom,
that's why I haven't given you a card.
Tom, are you pretty sure that's the address?
Not that matters. 18th and I... It's right around the corner from Wisconsin and M.
All right, well, you heard it, ladies and gentlemen, from our tour manager, Thomas Aloysius Gavin. Our next Vegas-style show is on October 20th
at the Garage.
The Garage Nightclub in D.C.
Hey, Don, let me say this.
Yes, Tommy.
At the Garage Nightclub, the next Las Vegas-style for Don and Mike is going to be October 20th. What time is it going to be? It's going to be at 8 o'clock. They get off the show at 7. I'll be there at 8.
All right. Well, you heard it.
Very good. You
from
got it right.
From our new manager, Tom Gavin.
Tag, Thomas Aloysius Gavin.
Okay.
All right, Tommy. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Tommy, one more thing. Would you introduce now to the MCI Center audience super producer Charles Loring Broyhill?
I'm blank.
Is that someone in your group house?
It's Mom.
It's your Mom? Hey, would there be any chance we could talk to your Mom?
No, she's busy.
Really? Would you ask her if she'd like to talk to us?
Nope.
Come on, please, Tom.
How's Mom doing?
Not good.
Not good? Why, Tom?
She's helping me try to clean the the place. I'm putting my skeleton on my door.
Putting your skeleton on your door?
For Halloween?
Halloween.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, it's never too early.
Make sure you give Lorraine our best.
Oh, where's my little skeleton at?
Your little skeleton what? Did you say your little skeleton ass?
Tom, is that a real skeleton you have, or is it like a...
yeah. Is that a skeleton like out of the movie Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Or is it like a dime store skeleton?
Tom? Oh, is that the skeleton talking?
Yep, it's talking.
What's it saying?
All on the TV, I will see. I think Happy Halloween.
Let me hear that. Hey, everybody, it's Tom Gavin.
You're listening to the Tom Gavin Show.
Hey, Tom,
you have to pull a string to make that happen?
Like his house isn't scary enough anyway. Like just him answering the door wouldn't be enough to scare you.
And all he'd have to do is just, wax one of those candles to the top of his head and sit on the stoop.
Tom, yes. How do you spell Halloween?
H-O-L-L-W-E-E-N.
Right.
Perfect.
Halloween.
Halloween. Right.
Now, would you please introduce to the MCI Center audience,
yep,
super producer Charles Loring Broyhill.
At the MCI Center, super producer Charles Broyhill.
All right, you got to work his middle name, though. It's Charles Loring Broyhill.
Okay. At the MCI Center, Charles Lawrence Broyhill.
That's right. You got it right.
That's
that
close
time.
Enough.
And Tom,
yes?
Would Charlie Broyhill be your best friend on the show, do you think?
Yes, he is.
Oh, yes, he
that's
is.
That's great.
Congratulations, Charlie.
Hey, Tom, why don't you write
him? Your number two favorite on the show, number three, number four, number five, and so on.
You, Mike.
Okay, one, two. Who's number three?
Charlie Broyhill.
Way to go, Charlie. Who's your number four favorite?
Buzz Burbank.
Okay. Thank you.
Who's number five now? You're down to Robbie and Mike Rockhead.
Robbie.
Yeah!
All right.
Mikey Rockhead's last.
Yeah.
Rocky Rockhead's last.
He's last. Oh.
Obviously, good looks don't count.
And how do you feel about the management around here, Tom?
Very good.
Very good?
Hmm. Do you know who our boss is?
Ken Stevens.
Right. And what do you think about Ken Stevens?
He's very good.
He's very good.
Why do you think he's very good?
He gives you all promotions and stuff.
How would you like the chance to talk to Ken?
Yes.
All right. Hold on, please, Tom. Now, Tom, if I was to pipe you through to Ken, because I know he's here in the building today.
Yeah.
Would you have anything to discuss with him?
Let's see if I can get a job working as a DJ there.
Beautiful. Uh-huh. Hold on, please.
Very good.
Hold on. Let me...
It's time for Tom Gavin to discuss career options with our general manager,
all right, Ken Stevens.
Stevens. Ken's always looking for new talent.
He is?
Looking to fill that weekend programming space.
There you go.
Hello?
Ken, it's Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Listen, how are you today, Ken?
Fine, thank you. Yourself?
Wonderful. Just great. Wouldn't break in on your important day, but I know you manage many big radio stations, and you're always on the lookout for new talent.
We have kind of a VIP call for you right here.
So let me just put this guy through and let him speak his own.
Tom, go ahead and talk to our general manager.
Hi, Ken Stevens.
Hi, Tom.
How you doing?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Good.
Go ahead, Tommy.
I'd like to see if you got any job openings as a DJ. I run my show over at WEBR, and I just want to know if you got any openings at WJFK.
Not right now.
Tom, ask him about at his stations in Philly or Baltimore.
Do you have any stations in Philly or Baltimore?
Do I have any openings there? No, not at the moment.
Ken.
Tom,
you sell yourself, Tom. This is a heavy sales pitch right here.
I just want to know, like...
Tell them how good you are, Tom.
I'm really good. I do a radio DJ over at WEBR. I'm really famous.
Where's WEBR?
It's in Fairfax. It's at Channel 10.
It's public access radio.
Public access radio.
Oh, and the cable.
Yeah.
Right. He's very good. He's got quite a following, Ken.
Is there video to that, too?
Just on Channel 37. Did you hear Media General got bought as Cox Cable?
No.
They did.
That's true.
So if I turn on channel
37, you'll hear me on Thursday.
I love this. Ken now having to have a conversation with Tom Gavin.
Okay, well, I'll ask Jeremy to do that.
Yeah, Jeremy.
Hey, Tom, why don't you pay Ken a compliment? He likes compliments.
I like you better. I like you all the time.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
That is
good,
nice.
Good compliment.
That is so nice.
All right, and Ken, how can Tom get a hold of you?
Personally.
Personally?
Yeah, like if he wants to arrange a face-to-face meeting.
Oh. Well, you know, he really should talk to Jeremy. Jeremy.
All right.
The program director hires the ear talent.
Thank you.
Jeremy in the building right now, Ken?
Sure.
Great. All right. Thank you, Ken.
Thanks so much for your leadership.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Ken. Hold on there, Tom. Hold on. Now, Tom, I will tell you that you did fantastic in your interview with the general manager.
But someone who's a little tougher to deal with and, you know, deals with a lot more of the air talent.
Yeah.
Is Jeremy Coleman, and he's very, very tough. You're going to have to really compliment him.
Hear me out on this. Do you think Tom might have a future in sales? I mean, here we are steering him towards programming.
I really can't tell you that you've hit on it. I didn't think of that until this moment.
Robbie,
I think that's a brilliant idea.
Go find out which one of the sales managers is here today.
Right.
Tom?
Preferably David Hainlein.
Have you ever thought about selling commercials?
Commercial. C-O-M?
Tom, have you thought about selling commercials? Do you think you could sell commercials for our show?
Yes, I will.
Oh, good. Well, would you like to talk to one of the sales managers who would be able to hire you to sell commercials for our show?
Yeah.
Okay. Ah. I know that they offer big commissions.
Who's on the premises, Tom?
Who's here?
You have your choice of Mr. Hainlein, Mr. Linewand, or Mr. Johnson.
I think we'll go right to Steve Johnson.
Steve Johnson, fine idea.
And a patient
Steve Johnson, okay.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
I call Steve Johnson, who is...
runs the Redskins sales.
Director of sports sales
for CBS.
And he loves
Tom
Gavin should remember to compliment.
Steve Johnson.
Steve, it's the Don and Mike Show. How are you today, Steve?
Good. How
are
you guys doing?
Steve, of course, first, hail to the Redskins.
Yes. They're doing great.
And we believe, on the line for you, a great sales prospect.
A guy that really knows his way around the stadium. He's sold at the stadium before, as a matter of fact.
Want to endorse him before we introduce him to you?
Okay.
Okay, Steve.
So always use good people.
Steve, this is Tom, and Tom, this is Steve.
How you doing, Steve? Hey, Tom, how you doing? Good, how you doing? Good.
Now, go ahead, Tom. Give me your best sales pitch.
Yeah, I'd like to help do some sales stuff for you all, and I'd like to go out on the town and sell spots for the Don and Mike show, and also for the Redskins.
You want to do it for Don and Mike and the Redskins?
Yeah.
Which one do you like better?
Don and Mike.
And now he's going to be able to pass the ball.
Good answer.
All right, Steve.
You know who I'm sending him to now?
Who?
Alan Linewine.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Bye-bye. All right.
All right, very shrewd. I will give him credit where credit is due.
Tom?
Yes?
I'm now going to pass you along to... Where's his title here? General Sales Manager Alan Linewine.
You got to be real nice to this guy. Tom, you got to turn it up a notch. You think he can do that?
Yep.
All right, hold on, Tom.
Now, we got a legitimate tough guy here.
Yeah. Oh, he's a pussycat when you get to know him. Alan.
Yes.
Alan, it's Don and Mike.
Don and Mike, how are you?
Listen, Alan, I know you're always on the lookout for top sales talent.
That's right.
And I know that you respect me for my ability to program radio and understand radio, and I think I understand a little something about sales. Let me introduce you to a man who I think... I just hung up on him.
Oh.
Hold on a second. After I just did all that crap about understanding radio, I hung up on him.
I didn't do that.
I know. Right. I understand radio. I don't understand the telephones. Let me introduce you to a guy who I think could help you out. Alan, say hello to Tom.
Tom, how are you?
How you doing, Alan? This is Tom Gavin. How you doing?
Tom Gavin.
Yeah, now, Tom, here's your chance to give Alan your big sales pitch.
Now, before you talk to Alan, I will tell you that Tom has talked to Ken, who passed him on to Steve Johnson, who then passed him on to you for an audition.
Now, go ahead, Tom. Tell Alan why you'd be a great salesman here at WJFK.
I'll go out and get some spots for you and bring them back from, like, restaurants.
What do you mean get some spots for you?
Get some spots for the station.
Right, let me ask you, Tom. How much would you charge for a commercial, a 60-second commercial on our show?
$130
$130
gets you what? Get you on and you do a spot.
Alan, what is our current rate card? Well, what is a 60-second cost on our show?
Oh, Don, I mean, we're talking thousands.
Thousands.
$1,000
No, thousands.
$1,000
It's like,
no,
Tom,
that would be multiple thousands.
Tom, it's actually more like $2,000 for 1 minute of time.
Well, yeah. Whatever the price is, Tom, why do you think you'd be effective at selling spots for this show?
Because it's like, I'll go out to restaurants and get the spot for them, from them and bring it back and let you all...
Could I ask you a question, Tom?
Go ahead.
What kind of sales background do you have?
A lot of sales. I sell Amway. That's why I'm a salesperson.
And what do you have to do when you sell Amway?
I sell voicemail.
And tell me what the normal, typical day in the Amway world is. What do you do? What time do you get in?
I do it from my house, my apartment.
So you don't leave your house?
No, I do. They call me, and I set the voicemail.
See, Alan's the best for this.
I know.
I call
him. Alan is so freaking type A.
I know.
Alan's really going to give him the real thing.
Giving the real interview here.
So how many times a week do you actually have to go out and see, you know, prospective clients, prospects?
Probably once a week.
Would that be like a full day of...
Yeah, full day.
How many people would you see in that once a week day?
Five people.
So you would actually get face to face with five
people. Right. He's doing all right. I'm sorry.
Five people a week?
Yeah, five people a week.
And is that a big week for you, or that's a slow week?
That's a slow week.
So on a large...
Got the right answer.
He's doing a good job.
That's like a big day.
I'm sorry?
A big day, like a lot of people.
I don't think I follow.
Oh, no. He started to unravel now.
What would
now.
Be a big day?
Like a lot of people, I see.
Okay, I don't think I'm quite sure exactly what you do when you're selling these people.
I sell Amway, I sell...
And what is it? I'm not very familiar with Amway.
I sell, like, the products to businesses. Like,
are these products people need?
Yeah, they use them.
But do they need them?
Yeah, they did. One business I deal with is the Cavemen Man Press. They use heavy-duty stuff.
I am sorry. I am fully impressed with Mr. Gavin's interview.
Heavy-duty stuff for presses.
I think we're going to have to tell Alan. He's going to bring him on staff.
At least give him a personal interview.
Why would you want to sell WJFK? I mean, what would be your overriding reason to want to work here?
Because I like to work there because it's close to the home. And
where's the home?
Vienna, Virginia.
Not a group home, though, Alan. Don't say group home.
He said the home.
I know, but just he's very sensitive about living in a group
house.
Home.
The house.
I'm sorry.
Near the house.
Sorry.
Come on now.
Here. I'm
being so insensitive.
Okay. So it's close to your home.
Yeah.
And would that be the overriding reason as to why you want to work at WJFK?
So I can help greet the people and
close to his home.
Help greet the people?
Yeah, and help collect.
Hold on, Alan. I tell you, I think if you have any clients that haven't paid their bills, you send Tom there when Tom knocks on the door.
They'll hand him a check.
I've never met Tom. Is he a large man?
Yeah, he's big. He's big. He's low to the ground.
Is he a frightening man?
Yes. Very.
Yeah.
Well, that could be. I'm wondering, Tom. You know, it's greeting is not necessarily what we have to do here in sales. It's you know, we're nice to people, but I wouldn't call it greeting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Tom.
Yeah.
Alan, let me ask you first. Do you think that Tom has any potential to join your sales team? And you can be brutally honest with him.
I'm sorry, Don. I missed that. I was still wondering about where the home was.
Do you think that Tom has any chance of joining your esteemed sales staff?
He's got a long way to go, Don.
All right. So, Tom, what he's telling you is to get more experience.
Well, I'm not hearing any override. I mean, being close to the station is not really, you know, an overriding reason as to why one should work here. I'm not really grasping that. Is if he told me I think the product's the best in the market. I think I could sell it and help clients. But I you know, close to the home really doesn't float the boat.
But you're telling them with a little more experience, maybe,
seasoning. Seasoning is always good.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you, Alan.
Thank you for your time, Mr. Limewine.
Thank you, Alan.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
Tom, good luck to you. All right.
Thank you. All right. Well, Tom, we've now gone through management, programming, and sales.
And I think the most important thing of all time is you've gotten a tremendous amount of airtime today. More than maybe Dennis Murphy has gotten.
It's the traffic now. Andy Rice.
Hey!
Andy Rice. He wants to talk to Andy Rice.
Andy, can
you
use some help?
Andy can help him.
How do you know Andy Rice?
From the traffic last year.
Now, do you know what the traffic department at a radio station does?
They get the spots off the radio for traffic.
Not really.
The computer and stuff.
Not really, Tom.
What do they do, Tom?
They get the traffic off the computer and give it to the producer.
No.
No.
No. No. No. Tom, the traffic department at a radio station are the people who schedule the commercials to be played.
Is that what you meant?
Yeah.
Nonetheless, I'm going to let you talk to Andy Rice, and then we have to end this tour of the staff here.
This is good, though. I think it's good experience for Tom Gavin to have the opportunity to chat with so many different people in different facets of the radio family.
We're now going to put him through to Young Republican and Hitler Youth, Andy Rice.
Gun owner.
NRA spokesman, Andy Rice.
Has Andy left for the day yet? Oh, no, it's not 5:29:30 yet.
He might be on one of his favorite three-hour lunches, though. All right. Does Andy have voicemail?
He should.
All right. Maybe his voicemail will kick in. Well, I'm sorry, Tom. Tombo, I'm sorry.
Sorry about that, Tom.
Andy Rice not available. I guess you'll just have to call the business line to speak to him on your own time.
And I'd like to know if you know Josh...
I'd like to know, hold on, if we know who, Tom? Well, all right, I hung up on both of them.
I think Tom learned some valuable interview skills today, especially, I want to thank Alan Limewand, who did a great job, gave him the real A interview, which I thought was interesting.
And Tom handled rejection well, I thought.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, well,
he's used to it, but.
He sure is.
He can sell them.
Oh, I love that. I love Tom Gavin talking to Ken Stephens,
right.
Steve Johnson,
absolutely.
And Alan Limewine all in the same day.
The power brokers here at the radio station.
Oh, do I love that.
Oh,
all right, one more call before we have to break. Hello, this is... Is your name Jana?
Jenna. Hey, what's up, Donna Mike?
Jenna from Massachusetts. Hello, Jenna.
How are you?
We're great, thank you.
Good. I got a celebrity sighting on Saturday, and I mentioned your name.
Good.
Okay.
All right, those are the rules. Who was the celebrity?
Ted Danson.
Oh, Pecker, TV's Pecker.
We interviewed Ted Danson recently. Did you mention that to him?
Yes, I did. That's what I said. I went up to him. I was in Boston, and I said, hey, Ted Danson, I heard you on Don and Mike the other day, and he shook his head. He goes, oh, those guys are crazy.
Oh, wonderful.
But he seemed positive, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's good that you had, you know, you made contact and you got a positive reaction.
Yeah, he's a lot shorter than what I thought he was. I thought he'd be a little bit taller.
Really? We thought he was like Herman Munster. I mean, really, that big giant head. I fully expected him to have those bolts coming out of the side of his neck. All right, well, Jenna, thank you.
Hey, it's my birthday.
Well, happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
All right, goodbye.
Bye.
Bye, Jenna. That was the aforementioned Jenna Jameson.
There she was. Rob, get my voodoo stuff from Mark Rudell ready. I know we never got to that, but we got to do a whole thing with Tom Gaffin there.
Right. Understandable.
Let's start today's show with a caller 100.
Let's do it, buddy.
Secret sound number 5, which is now worth $6.
$600.
Wow. $600. If you can identify this impossible sound, it lies straight ahead if you're the 100th caller on the toll-free at 1-877-365-3636.
We love Dynamite.
That was a wacky commercial. And it's almost 1 o'clock in California, where you're listening to the show right now on KVTA Oxnard.
Let's go, girls.
I get that down. My new DJ sound effect.
You will.
I get it down.
Nobody does it better.
Crazy now, ain't they?
It's the Don and Mike Show.
Let me try another one of those.
Yeah, you like these.
I got like 4 different ones.
Let me try another one. Okay. Recue everything.
Like you come out of the commercial,
right?
And you give a local time check. where, for instance, you say, it's almost 3 o'clock, and you're listening to our show in Natchez.
What's MS?
Mississippi.
All right, I screwed that one up.
That's all right. You can do it again.
All right, hold on. I'm no good with the abbreviations for the states. Yeah. I don't know if it was Mississippi or Missouri.
Natchez Ms. Magazine.
Okay.
Here we go. It's almost 4 o'clock, and you are listening to the Don and Mike Show on Hot Talk 970 WZAN, Portland, Maine.
Yeah. There's a little extra time here. I got to time them out right. One more.
Now it's not as definitive as some other, what we call little, you know, shotguns, donuts, what have you. It's kind of ends, you know. I think that's why, you're better if you got, like, a definitive thing.
I'll get it, Mike.
A wall.
I'll get it.
All right.
It's almost 4 o'clock, and you're listening to the Don and Mike Show on a town we affectionately refer to as Crapchester, WHTK, Rochester.
That's it.
See, that was perfect.
That's how I got to do it every time. Just like that.
That's good.
Broadcasting a mere 8 feet from Buzz Burbank's ultra-sensitive nipples, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Because we are into servicing our affiliates.
And that's what it's all about on the Westwood One radio network, right?
That's right.
It is now while we're on the company plan. Hey, I was just talking to Sammy. You want to hear a wacky idea that she had?
Yes.
She said that, you know, The Sopranos, our favorite TV show, a TV show that we are way out in front on.
Oh, absolutely.
It debuts in January.
Yes.
And she said that HBO called and wanted to know if you and I would like to fly to New York.
Oh, yes.
For the premiere of The Sopranos.
Oh, yes.
Where they're going to be showing the first episode, like in a theater.
And maybe having a little cast party afterwards.
Well, it's just for the cast.
Cool. Oh, yeah.
So could you picture that?
Oh, yeah.
How good would that be?
Oh, boy.
You
all
and me.
For good.
Tony Soprano and his wife and the psychiatrist.
Oh,
yeah, we could do that.
We could do that easy.
Yeah, I said to Tim, I think we could get into that.
Yeah, we love The Soprano.
I think we could do
especially,
that.
Especially, I mean, we're really, I mean, you know, compared to a lot of people, we're waiting with bated breath for that January premiere. We really are. We wish The Sopranos had a new episode every week.
Right, so look for that in the future.
Good.
She's going to get that together. That's in January, I guess.
As we continue a relentless pursuit to suck up to as many TV stars as we possibly can.
Oh, and if we could ever get a walk-on on The Sopranos.
And that would be, I think, frankly,
would that be a bigger rush than being on King of Queens?
I think it'd be pretty good, and I think you and I'd be pretty good at it, too. I mean, that'd be background stuff.
We could be guys in Tony's crew.
Oh, absolutely.
Or guys in another crew that get whacked by Tony's crew.
You know what? You know what would be the ultimate thrill? Getting whacked.
Yeah,
getting whacked on The Sopranos.
That would be an honor to get killed by Tony Soprano.
But, you know, because the show is so well written, they don't have that all the time. But it would just be wonderful if we were, like, background guys getting whacked.
Maybe we could just be one of those guys that's sitting out in front of a coffee shop.
And, get the collateral damage, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool.
You know, like where Tony and Junior go to have their coffee and stuff.
Sure, sure.
And guys get whacked all the time.
You and I sitting there, you know, eating a cannoli.
Well, listen, hold on.
Of course, right now, I would try to play it up too much. You know, they'd go, cut, Don, Mike, please, because we'd be going,
I'm dying.
I'm
bleeding. All right. Well, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. We do have the King of Queens thing coming up next week.
Yes. Very good. I like both of these things.
So that's good. Our two favorite shows. We might be hooked up with both of them.
That is very exciting.
That's good news. Now, caller 100 time. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I am caller 100.
Yes, you sure are. And what is your name, my friend?
Geedy Stewart.
What's that first name?
Geedy.
Geedy?
Yes.
What kind of a name is Geedy?
It's a unique name.
Geedy. Where are you from, Geedy?
I am from Manassas, Virginia.
No, Geedy, where are you from originally?
Oh, Cambridge, Maryland.
Really? Geedy, how do you spell that?
G-E-E-D-Y.
Geedy, like
Geedy. Like Greedy without the R.
Greedy without the R. All right, Geedy, you are the 100th caller, and Geedy?
Hey, I bet he'll be real Geedy if he wins.
You have won a pair of tickets to WWF Raw is War Live from the MCI on November 1st.
I'm all Geedy about that Sopranos thing.
See over 40 of your favorite WWF superstars. Tickets on sale at the box office or through Ticketmaster Outlet. But you will be there in person. But wait, there's more. Geedy, you now get a chance to win $600.
Geedy like a schoolgirl.
By identifying the nearly impossible secret sound number 5. Have you heard it before, Geedy?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you've never heard it?
No.
Oh, you know, I hate to be such a pessimist. Mm-hmm. No way you're going to win then. But I'll play it for you anyway.
Give me one try.
Again, here's a free listen, Dee. This is on the house. Geddy Lee of Rush. No, it's Geddy Lee, but that's how Bono might say his name. Right.
Geddy Lee.
Geddy Lee.
Really happy with Geddy Lee. He's a Rush fantastic band.
Geddy, did you hear that?
No, I didn't.
All right, here it is one more time. This is a free listen. Did you hear it?
Yeah.
All right, that's the secret sound.
That old TV show with Estelle Geddy.
Now we're going to give you 15 seconds to identify the sound. Please do not answer until Mike sings like Hank Hill. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, Geddy. For $600.
Caller, name this noise.
There's the sound, and now we'll give you 15 seconds to think about it. Geddy, I will tell you, it is a common sound heard in everyday life. And now, Mike. Wow. You're working that, aren't you?
Yeah, just, you know, and, you know, so it doesn't get stale, just trying to add a little something there. That's just the kind of dedicated performer I am.
Geddy, for $6, what is that?
Was it a fly swatter hitting that fly?
Geddy, Geddy, Geddy.
Ah, Geddy.
Would you repeat that again?
Was it a fly swatter hitting a fly?
Oh,
we are sorry.
No, absolutely not. Sorry, Geddy.
Thank you, guys.
But remember, every guess is a clue for you.
That's right, a Geddy clue.
Thank you, Geddy.
All right, hold
the line, my friend. Hold on. We'll do the touchstones again in a few seconds.
The issue here is that Geed is good.
Just looking at the
Geddy up
at the new TV guide. Because I'm like the only idiot that actually reads TV Guide like it's a magazine.
Right.
And besides the fact that Katie Couric's on the cover.
Right.
And, you know, I like Katie Couric.
She's, you know, we've known Katie Couric for a long time.
I hate her hair like that, though. She got her hair like Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone.
That is absolutely right.
I wish she would wear her hair like a woman, for God's sake.
Well, there's something about that gig, I think, that, you know, Jane Pauley did the same thing. She had a million and one hairstyles during her tenure on that show, and Katie Couric has done the same thing.
And inside the new TV guide, they have a big article about Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the reason I bring this to your attention is there's a giant picture of her here.
Is it a fold-out?
No, but it's a full page. And as you can see, it sure does look like those are fake pig old bitties that she's got. Take a good look and tell me if those look like the regular bitties of a 16-year-old girl.
You know why I don't think they might, I think they might be real? Is because she doesn't have this thing happening, this bump up here. She's not wearing the kind of top that would show it off, but I don't know.
Let me see if I can find another picture. Hold
I
on.
Just, I don't know, because
right,
she said
take
that
a look
she
at this
blossomed.
Picture. Yeah. Take a look at that picture.
Okay,
well, did she blossom like in 2 weeks?
She said she had a growth spurt where she jumped from 105 pounds to 130 pounds, and that's where she says the extra.
I don't see the weight anywhere except in her boobs.
Yeah, well, that's where she says
she got it. I mean, you have a growth spurt, and you gain 30 pounds in your boobs? You gain 15 pounds in each boob?
She says she did.
What do you think, Mike?
I think they're real. I really do.
I think they're 100% fake.
I think they're real because they don't have that. They look like a girl that's younger, that's actually, you know, well endowed.
She's 17.
In fact, she looks like she may be heading towards breast reduction territory. Most doctors would turn away a 17-year-old who wanted breast implants because they're still growing.
Yeah, but she's Britney Spears. I mean,
that's true.
You ever see her on the Mickey Mouse Club? I hate to sound like a perv and a pedophile, but
was she on the Mickey Mouse Club?
She was on the Mickey Mouse Club, and she was rather flat-chested at that time.
Well, what was she, 10?
No, this was just a couple years ago, before she...
So she was like 15?
Before she became Britney Spears.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know, you know, I'm not an expert on when women develop that.
She was 12. I'm sorry, I'm reading the article now. She was 12.
She was 12.
Maybe that's why she was so flat.
I would explain that. That would be the reason. I think that, you know, when women are going to develop their breasts, this is like the, you know, the years that she has been showing her, you know, breasts is when she would normally develop. Well, I don't know when women sprout breasts on average. I don't know if there is an average.
Picture here. Those are woman-sized breasts she has. Those are not 17.
How old is she? She's 17?
17.
Didn't you go to school with any girls that had breasts that were unusually large?
Yeah, but those girls had the breasts that were like elephantitis breasts. I mean,
because they were overweight?
So big. No, no. The girls at high school that had big breasts.
Right.
They had breasts that were not like normal-sized women breasts. They were, you know what I mean?
They were on their way towards the big, super, like, get the breast reduction surgery.
They were so big.
And I would say
it was ridiculous.
And I would tell you that that second picture where she's wearing the silver top looks to me like she's heading in that direction. That she's really heading in the direction where they're going to be bigger than she wants them.
I've got to beg to differ.
Is there any documented evidence that she's had it done?
Well, I know if you go on the internet, but you can't trust anything on the internet, that you can find pictures where they show her like a year ago and then today.
And it's hard to trust her, you know, when she comes out and says absolutely not.
You see the Rolling Stone pictures of her?
No.
Okay. I wish I had that magazine.
Really?
Show. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, if you could show me something where, you know, they've got that. I think fake breasts are very easy to identify most of the time.
And when I saw her in Rolling Stone, that's where I first thought that they were fake, because she had like one of those, you know, a hee-haw honey shirt?
Yeah, right, right.
You know the kind of shirt, like checkerboard that ties like right above the belly button?
Sure. Yeah.
She had one of those on.
Right.
And they had that big, hard, fake look to them.
Right. And she's coming out in the press, though, right, and really making a point to say absolutely, unequivocally not. Is that right? I mean, is that right? I'm not sure whether I'm right.
Yes, that is right.
Did anyone happen to see her on the Kids' Choice Awards? I happened upon it. I did not watch the Kids' Choice Awards.
No, I didn't.
Big controversy.
If you skimmed by it, you would have stayed, because it looked like brand new high beam bulbs in a brand new Chevrolet, and it was they did not move. And that's when I first thought they were fake.
The Nickelodeon people were very upset, because during rehearsal she wore a bra, and then when they rolled tape to go on the air with the Kids' Award show or whatever it was, she came out without a bra, and they felt that was maybe not family fair. I'd like to see her moving to be able to, you know, form a good opinion on.
She does all that high-energy choreographed stuff.
They don't move.
Right.
She's
awful. Have you seen her dance moves? She's awful in her videos.
And then again, though, if you think if they really are real, and if there's going to be one time in your life where they're not going to move a lot, that's going to be
now. Sure. I mean, when they would be firm and they would be in place.
Absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hey.
I love Buzz's little asides. Buzz just kind of slips in.
Young and firm.
Young and firm.
Hello, Steve.
Yeah, hey, I'm looking at Carol Wakelin.
Who's that?
She's Miss November in Playboy.
Yeah?
And she was whining about how she was flat as whatever until she hit 12th grade. And then I'm looking at her picture now, and she's looking pretty happening.
And I know a lot of girls that really blossomed like sophomore year of high school.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Here's Darren. Hello, Darren.
Hey, Don and Mike, buddies.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, two things for you. I want to talk to you.
Okay. Had to delete that out.
Sorry, can't talk about that. Thank you.
Well, anyway, Britney Spears, whatever happened to the story that she was really like 27 years old and the guy who took her to the prom in high school was coming out saying that she was just playing a teeny bopper?
Now, see, this to me is the internet stuff.
Because she was on the Mickey Mouse Club when she was like 12 or 13.
Really, 40 years old and she's playing a teen symphony.
Please, hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I want to talk to Don and Mike.
Yeah, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Britney Spears. I think she has real breasts because, first of all, in her first video, she was thin. She has gained a lot more weight. She's kind of like that girl from Saved by the Bell that went to 90210. She gained a lot of weight and her breasts got huge.
All right, so you think they're real?
Yeah, I think they're real.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
What? You know, don't they have, all the people that have that procedure done, don't they usually have the sources for that type of thing? Has there been a definitive source that says, yes, she had the work done?
No.
So she had it done. She did it really secretive.
The doctors,
of course, won't talk. Britney Spears swears she didn't have the breast enhancement surgery, but the New York Post says it has a source this close to Britney Spears who says she did have the surgery.
There you go. Okay.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how's it going?
Hey, buddy.
I think we need to look at her mom to see what kind of rack she's wearing before we can come to that conclusion.
Good idea. Genetics absolutely play a large part in it.
Yeah, that's very true. Generally, if the mom's got big knockers, the daughter has big knockers.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Hello.
Fascinating subject, though,
isn't it? Don and Mike Show. Art.
Hey, guys.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, they're fake.
They're fake.
Fake all the way.
Why?
There was a talk with the Rolling Stones. You were talking about the Rolling Stones pictures?
Yeah.
And, you know, those checkerboard, the hee-haw shirts, aren't those the best? I think that's the best thing a woman can wear right there. Anyway, they said when she was taking the pictures there, they had a confirmation from the doctor that did the job. They are definitely fake.
What do you mean, man? That was in the article in Rolling Stone?
No, there was an article in People Magazine. It's a People Magazine. They talked about a guy from Rolling Stone Magazine said he talked to the doctor that did him. They are a fake.
All right, well, thank you. See, everybody hears a million different things. Right. I know that in a year from now, when she's not popular anymore.
That's when we'll know for sure.
Because that's when she'll pose for Playboy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, just like Debbie Gibson did, just like Tiffany did.
Of course, if she poses in Playboy, still might not know. You know, the only way you'd know is she's dancing. So you're going to have to wait years and years and years to really find out.
The Gentleman's Club in Crystal City?
Absolutely.
Hello, Don and my show.
Hello.
Hello, Jeff.
Hi. Hey, Leah Remini, when she was on Saved by the Bell,
yeah,
she was thin and flat-chested. Now look at her. So I think Britney Spears is probably right. She gained a little bit of weight. Now she's getting to be a nice hottie.
I'll tell you something about Leah, and we've seen Leah up close, and there's no doubt that Leah is a 10.
Mm-hmm.
Leah does not have the biggest boobs in the world.
Yeah, she has a very nice package. Looking
very
good
nice
last
package.
Night.
Yeah, but last night in that, you talked about that purple...
Chang's, yeah. Don. It was Chang's. The,
that purple...
purple tank top that she was wearing,
yeah,
with Chang's and
Chang.
her kind of, mauve bra strap showing underneath that.
Yeah, but I think a lot of that was the bra. Because when we saw her that day at her house, I did a lot of looking.
I envy you two for that.
I mean, I cast no aspersions against Leah. You know, I'm totally in love with her.
Yeah.
But I would guess that... if you took her shirt off,
which you've done countless times in your mind.
In my mind.
Hey, you two are married. Watch out.
Oh, no, I'm like Jimmy Carter, man.
Right, lust in your heart.
Get lust in your heart.
Sure.
You know, and I've pictured Leah naked.
Right.
More times than you,
what would you
care to know.
Then what would you estimate her bra size to be?
I would say that Leah is probably a 30... She's definitely a 34.
Yeah, 34.
And I'd say probably... a B, a 34B.
I think she'd probably be a 34C.
Mm-hmm. You know what? She's going to call us today from the Letterman show, and we'll just ask her. She'll tell us what her bra
size
is.
Absolutely.
She won't have a problem with that,
right?
All right, thank you.
And I simply, that's a cheap ploy for when that comes up, but I've gone with the larger cup size.
No fair telling her that I said 34B.
Oh, yeah, like you wouldn't do that to
unless
me.
I'm right.
I knew it. Yeah, you'll go, I knew it.
Hello, Leroy, or is it Leroy?
Either way, I get it both ways.
Yes.
You guys are
going to
make a joke about that.
Leroy. Hello, Leroy.
Real quick, two things. I had one thing about Britney Spears, but I agree with you 100%, Don. Leah Remini, total hottie.
Oh, she's beautiful.
Hottest. I'm sitting there Monday night. Nobody looks as good as her on TV, I'm telling you.
I was my wife pissed last night. I got home, and I'd already asked her on the show if I could watch Leah Remini.
Yeah.
Instead of talking to my wife and my son at dinner.
I don't like that 8 o'clock start time for King of Queens.
Yeah, 8:30
really,
works a lot better for me.
You really, you know, you and I come in basically the same time in the evening. We end up looking like complete jerks as we go right to the television set.
I walk in the door at 5 minutes of delay, and my wife says, oh, hi. And I sit down, and I start talking with her. My son's doing his homework. And then I said, oh. I checked my watch and said, listen, could you bring me my TV in my dinner in the TV room? And she says, oh, I know. You got to watch Leah, right? And I said, I asked you on the show. And she said, you asked me on the show. You know, like the show doesn't count for real life.
Right.
But I won. I sat by myself in the TV room and watched her.
And that show, you know, got pretty savaged by the critics yesterday.
I thought it was a pretty funny episode.
It was very funny. How do you miss with something like that? I thought it was good.
Not enough Leah in last night's episode, though.
Yeah, and certainly not one of the funniest that we've ever seen. But it was not as unfunny as they billed it. I mean, him walking around with a staple in his beanbag.
And his testicles.
It was funny.
Yeah, good, funny.
Yeah.
It was a good one.
But anyway, back to Britney Spears thing. I think they have to be real, just from a common sense point of view. I mean, if everybody's saying they're fake, and everybody's so convinced they're fake, why wouldn't she just flat out, you know, say, okay, yeah, I had them enlarged. You all think it anyway, so I'm going to admit to it.
Because she's 17. Because she still has that, even though she did the Rolling Stone thing, she still is banking on that squeaky, clean, I'm a good girl image.
I'd have to know more about her, you know, support group, as far as her parents, her managers,
right,
I mean, that
Mike,
type of thing.
Here's a guy who says he saw Britney Spears' mom on TV. Hello, Bill.
Yeah.
Hi, Bill.
On these MTV awards, when they showed them, I think it was on a different station, but when they were showing them coming in, she came in with a lady and an elderly gentleman. I think it was her father or mother. And, yeah, she does have a nice set of jugs.
Who's the mother does?
Her mom?
Her mother has got a nice set of jugs, yeah. So I think it was all bred in.
Okay, thank you, sir.
You know, you're wondering why people want to be famous in America nowadays.
This is the reason,
sure,
right here.
Her mom had a nice set of jugs.
Her mother had a nice set of jugs.
Hello, Aaron.
Yeah. You ever notice how you always see Melissa Joanne Hart with Britney Spears?
You mean Sabrina?
Yeah, like in her video, in that new crazy video for that new Melissa Joanne movie. She's in that video.
Oh, right, because that song is featured in the movie.
Yeah,
right.
Seen together.
Right.
So. And another point is, who cares if they're fake?
All right, well, just listen, you know, inquiring minds want to know if they're fake or not.
And I think there are guys that do care and guys that don't care. I think there's a school of thought where guys, you know, don't care at all, and then there's another school of thought where you know, certain guys like real.
I don't mean to sound like the frog, but I'm just curious. You know, when I see a picture of her, that's the first thing I think, are those real? Hello?
Hey, fake or real, man, I still beat off to her.
Hello, Don and Mike. You know, that guy's becoming an everyday caller.
He
now is.
He's very regular.
We got to cut him off. Hello, Noah.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
Just want to talk to you. Remember back to my high school days when a lot of girls would go on the birth control pill, their chests would grow.
That's true.
And you know what? I bet she's on the pill. Because there's no way Britney Spears is a virgin. She's got to be a super whore. Isn't she supposed to be doing it with one of the Backstreet Queers?
That sounds like it would be the natural type of tabloid.
Or NSYNC. No, they've been seen like at award shows and stuff together.
Mm.
Who's that fag she's going out with? One of those guys from some boy group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I bet she's on the pill. Because no Backstreet Boy would wear rubber. I'm positive. You go to bed with a Backstreet Boy, he goes, hey, baby, I'm a Backstreet Boy. Uh-huh. You got to be on the pill.
Right.
You got to be on the pill.
I'm a Backstreet Boy. That's what he says right before commence lovemaking. I'm a Backstreet Boy. Let's go.
And right before the very end.
Hey, I'm a Backstreet Boy.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
How are you doing today?
Hi. And listen, like the Beach Boys, when will we stop calling them the Backstreet Boys and call them... You know, if they're not quite men yet,
right.
So you can't call them the Backstreet Men, but how about the Backstreet Guys?
How about the Backstreet Fellas?
Hey, fellas.
Hey, fellas. The Backstreet Pals.
Because I do think it's ridiculous whenever I see the Beach Boys, and they bring them out, especially now, the Beach Boys, like on life support and stuff.
The best yet, the Backstreet
Buddy.
Backdoor Boys.
Hey, Buddy.
Buddies.
Hey, Buddy. Hey, what can we do for you?
As Frisky Dr. Mode calling, and I'd like to tell you about my professional opinion about Britney Spears.
Yes, Frisky Dr. Mudd.
I can assure you that those are 100% not real. Those are complete silicone. And Backstreet Boys, they are also regular visitors to my office.
All right, thank you, sir. Hello, here's Susan now. Susan.
Yeah, I just want to say that. I mean, I really don't care if they're fake or not, but I think they look too perfect for a 17-year-old girl to be having breasts like that.
Well, I will tell you that... How do I say this without sounding like a perv? Mm-hmm. I think most girls at that age... Their breasts are pretty perfect at that age, I think.
Well, see, when I was 17...
That's just what I think.
Well, you know, like that one guy said, birth control does...
That's what Mike Rockhead tells me. Every time he bags one of our 17-year-old listeners, he comes back and says to me, this girl's breasts were perfect.
A lot of weight.
What? I'm sorry?
Well, I gained a lot of weight when I was on the birth control pill.
Yes.
But my breasts didn't get, like, that big. Those are just, like, really big and too perky.
Well, that makes total sense, then, if you completely take out the, you know, the chance that... other people in the world.
Thank you, though.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
I mean, you know, you do have to realize there are genetics at play and that there are individuals. I mean, I think every high school had, you know, the girl that was thin and had big boobs. My high school had a couple of them.
Sure.
And I mean, and it was the kind of girl, even if they weren't that attractive, that you would notice because it was just...
Their boobs are so huge.
Unbelievable. Every school had that, I would say.
Right. Hello, here's Bob. Bob in Vegas. Hello, Bob.
Hey, buddies.
Hey, buddy.
Lords of the Airways.
Hi there.
Hey, they had a thing on Where Are They Now, or before they were rock stars, and it was Jennifer Love Hewitt, your favorite girl there.
Now, hers are real.
Yeah, but she was on Kids Incorporated when she was about 12 or 13. My kids remembered her.
I used to watch that show with Bart when Bart was a little kid, yeah.
She was a stick. I mean, just, you know, like a carpenter's dream, flat as a board.
Easy to screw.
She developed some good features.
Now, Jennifer Love Hewitt has Not in the class of Aniston breasts.
Right.
But pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty close.
That movie, I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Cleavage City.
That is the cleavage. And, yeah. And the other girl that's in that.
And you know, here's why I can't stand to watch that movie. Because, you know, after you sit there for an hour,
right.
you're screaming at the TV screen, just take your shirt off. just stop running around in the rain. And who cares if the guy in the fisherman's hat is coming after you?
With the hook.
Just take the shirt off.
With the ice hook.
Let me see what's doing.
Oh, please do.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Open your TV guide to page 46 about the Regis Philbin thing.
All right, hold on. Okay, you're actually reading...
Yes, I have it in my hand.
Millionaire Madness?
Yeah. Read the stupid quote in there.
Okay, from who? You mean the one that's three quarters down the page?
Yeah.
Let me see. The resounding success of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, blah, 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 blah. You mean the one that starts with Putting Millionaire?
Yes, yes.
Putting Millionaire on in those time slots certainly seems like a vote of no confidence for those shows, says a media buyer. It's essentially true when you do that to Snoops. Well, what does that mean? Well, why'd you have me read that? What's the point of that?
All these people trying to bring back the Millionaire show, and they're just so full of themselves that they have to...
I would like to point out that you were taking direction there from a non-professional.
I know it, Mike. Listen, what was I thinking? Let me talk to Lupe. Hey, Lupe.
Hi there, how are you?
Hey, Lupe, baby.
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hey, listen. I saw Britney on the Style Show, and you know what? She kind of fluctuated in her breast size, and I wanted to input that they have these plastic things they put on bras. And I believe that's what she has in her bras to make her look so firm and big.
You know, we've had those
amazing things with the bras.
We've had those fake boobs down here before that girls just put into their bras. What, Robbie?
It couldn't be at that Kids' Choice Awards because it was just too revealing. It would show.
They
so I disagree.
Under your boobs. They put them under your boobs and on the sides to make a fuller.
All right, thank you. All right, one more call of this. Hello, Joe. Joe in Rochester.
I just like hearing you as a breast expert.
Hello, Joe.
I don't know why that
hey,
means,
how are you?
We're great, thank you.
Did you happen to see that special where they had the manager of the Backstreet Boys on, and he said that last year they grossed $1 billion?
A tidy sum, Mr. Bigglesworth.
That doesn't make you want to shoot yourself and believe it, though. That's why I'm telling you, Backstreet Boys don't wear condoms.
Can you imagine giving that money, all the chicks you wanted? Unbelievable.
Sure.
There is a rumor I heard that they don't have any, penises.
The Backstreet Boys?
Just like Ken, you know, the Barbie and Ken thing.
But you meant just like Ken Stevens.
Same thing.
Just like Michael Jackson. No penis, like G.I. Joe. Just all smooth skin down there.
Completely smooth.
No, I bet the Backstreet Boys, as a matter of fact, I would bet not only do they have penises, I bet they have giant penises.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I bet that they screw... They don't screw their fans.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they do screw
no,
their
they
fans.
No, they give them a great show every
right,
time
by
they come
putting out those ridiculous records. I mean, they don't screw those girls who have their moms drive them to the concert.
No, they've got the professionals back at the hotel.
Right.
Hello, boys.
Right.
Chewing the gum.
Right.
Hello, Ginger. Great show.
Right.
Boy, they didn't even know I was 40.
We hear you boys don't wear condoms, huh?
No, we're the Backstreet Boys.
We don't wear condoms.
Woohoo!
All right, thank you, Joe.
Yep.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, I don't know how we got on that topic. Oh, I know how. TV Guide.
Right.
TV Guide,
which is a wonderful publication.
Britney Spears, her boobs. A quick break, and then we'll be back with more.
This together like white suits and German shepherds. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara.
Hey, Broyhill, bring me the phone number where I get a hold of Leah Remini, please. Not only am I curious about her bra size,
yes,
but we can also find out how her show did in the ratings and break the news to her if she does not know.
Excellent. Very good.
Is tonight the Letterman show for Leah?
Haven't had a confirmation or denial on such an event.
Mm. Do you have that number at the Letterman show?
Not on top of me.
Robbie, do you have that number backstage at Letterman?
We have a number.
Give me that.
When we talked to Biff that one time.
Right, Biff Henderson.
The stage manager.
Did you try to call Leah's house, Charlie? Why don't you bring me that number, too, please?
I have, and I was just getting ready to again.
Okay, are you like Ben Gayon, or are you chewing on something medical? What are you doing? What is that odor?
Listerine.
It's Listerine?
Yes.
It's the new hygiene conscious, Charlie Broyhill.
Hey, this would be great. Just splash them in your mouth before you came in here?
Better than yesterday, though.
Ah, yeah, but much better than yesterday.
You know who had, I want to say something, you know who had ass breath yesterday? Homo Joe. And I hope Homo Joe, and I do mean ass breath. I hope he is not offended by that.
Well, I mean, you're using it, obviously, euphemistically.
Yeah, but
it was horrible.
No,
he had
it smelled
breath.
Like somebody's ass.
He was death breath yesterday.
I think it was a combination of nervous.
Right. Or, yeah, stomach, he, something with a tummy.
That he didn't bring the tape on time. He had to drive in traffic to get here.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he got in here a couple of times, and he's standing a good 5-6 feet away from me.
Right. Yeah.
You know, when he went, hi.
I caught him in the production studio, and then I asked Don, I said, did you get a chance to smell that? And he's like, yes, it's horrible. And that's, I believe, when the first expression of ass breath was uttered. And then shortly thereafter, I moseyed on down to the company lavatory where Charlie Broyhill was really...
Hello?
Hello, is this the Letterman Show?
Yes.
Hey, listen, this is Don and Mike. We're on the radio right now. Can you tell us, is Leah Remini on Letterman Show tonight?
I'm sorry?
Is Leah Remini on Letterman Show tonight?
No.
No, she's not.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Maybe it's tomorrow night, though.
Maybe
hey, Charlie, bring me your home phone number. We'll call her at home.
We'll find out. I'll tell you right now, I'm still gagging from yesterday in the lavatory. I always thought there's several people around here, David Hainline, EB from the Sports Junkie, several guys that really... are just horrible. And Charlie Broyhill, it was one of those situations.
You're one of those culprits, Mike.
Well, not as bad as this. This was the worst thing I've ever smelled in my life. It was absolutely incredible. And may I address the pot calling the kettle black there, too.
Maybe my farts, but I generally don't go number two on the radio
station. You don't, but you have, and yeah. I remember.
We're going to call now and find out what Leah's rating was last night.
Very
Welcome
good.
To the NBC ratings hotline. Please listen for new menu options.
Okay.
At any time during this recording, press 0 to return to the main menu. Press 1 to hear metered market ratings. Press 2 to hear national or fast national ratings.
I guess 2 national.
Mm-hmm. Please wait.
Please.
This is the way all the Hollywood types do it.
Mm-hmm.
Press 1 for Monday nationals. Press 2 for Tuesday. Please wait.
Out by their pools.
Monday Nationals.
Here we go. With their dogs.
Good afternoon. Following your Nationals for Monday, October 4th.
See if they won their time slot.
NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, Paramount, and Warner Brothers. 8 o'clock, Suddenly Susan, adult 18 to 49 rating, 1.9.
That's no
King
good.
Of Queens, 4.8.
Wow.
2020, 3.9. That 70 Show, Special, Repeat, 3.5. Moesha, 1.3. 7-7, 2.3.
They kicked that.
8:30, Veronica's Closet.
Right, well, it sounds to me like that. They won that time slot.
They did. They did it again.
Easily. They had a 4.8.
Yep.
Suddenly Susan, and what an abortion that show is.
Yeah.
A 1.8.
They're doing their job. They're really doing their job. That's fantastic news.
All right, good. So she should be in a good mood when we talk to her today.
Absolutely.
Tell her the ratings are good.
Mm-hmm.
I guess she's going to be on Letterman tomorrow night.
We have to find that out.
I thought she told us tonight was the night she was going on Letterman, because she definitely told us she would call us from
what
the green room.
I didn't hear her say that. Did she say that to you out in California?
Yeah, when we were watching the football game.
Mm-hmm.
She told me how nervous she is going to be on David Letterman.
Yeah, I'd like to chat with her.
When I was staring at her, deciding that she was a 34B.
That's right.
34B.
Just remember, I said 34C.
Mm-hmm. Robbie, do you have my...
36 double D.
You have my Brunel. Give me the bag. What do we have?
Oh, I'd rather show it to you.
Okay.
If that's possible.
These are the items that we're going to FedEx now to Mark Brunel.
Just laying around my little chapel at home. Mm-hmm. Here's a blood-colored candle, because I think you need that for every, like, satanic thing.
Who's
purple?
Whose blood is that?
Mine. I didn't have red. I thought it would be play good on the radio. If
did you just buy that candle?
No, I had it in the house.
Oh, you had it in the house.
I don't want to send him a purple candle.
You don't?
No,
you don't think it looks spooky?
Nothing demonic about sending a guy a purple
candle. But
that
was a very fine effort calling it a blood-colored candle.
Here's a shrunken head.
Oh, no, that's good.
That's very good.
Now, that's good. This I like.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to write a message on this.
Good.
Okay? Going to write. Now, if I wrote, you suck, is that too harsh, do you think?
Well, you know, they're going to know who it comes
all right,
from.
All right, I'm going to write. Throw the...
I guess you write the whole F word. No, I think it would be the F with a dash and then ing.
Okay.
Throw the effing bomb.
F dash ing. Throw the effing bomb. Okay, I've written that in magic marker.
Not that you have any interest in motivating him anymore. I mean, he can probably write whatever you want.
No, I'm still mad at him, but I know he's on your team.
Right.
So now I've written on this shrunken head's forehead, throw the effing ball.
I like
that's
that
nice.
Shrunken head. I like okay. that. I like that. You know, it reminds me of Beetlejuice when I look at that.
All right, what else, Robbie?
Now we enter the arts and crafts portion.
There it is.
If you saw the,
did you do this yourself?
Yes,
Rob?
I did. I built this.
You're the man. You're the man. That's
from the
true.
Blair Witch Project. There's two of them. This is the first one.
You know how they had all those crosses made
yeah.
out of tree limbs that were tied together with
yeah.
string?
You did a great job with that.
The
very
second
good,
one's
Roger.
Better. I like the
very
second
good.
One.
There's the second one.
There's the second one. How scary are those? Okay?
They're very scary.
Right, what else? What else do we have?
The grand finale, and this I did work on very hard this morning. It's a necklace made of chicken bones.
There you go.
Oh, that's great, Robbie. Oh, that's so great.
There it is.
And obviously, you enjoyed those wings.
No, no, I did
you?
Not eat those, actually.
Really?
I boiled them in salt water, then baked the bones till they was dry.
You didn't eat those?
I did not.
Real chicken bones.
Okay. Beautiful. Is that breading? Is that breading on the bones? I'm just not that I don't believe the boy.
Were,
I just wanted to make sure.
What those were Price Club wings of fire that we keep in the freezer, and I just boiled what 6 or 8 of them. I don't know.
All right, now,
great.
Now you just need a piece of paper.
All right.
So I can write him the note. And then I'll send all this to him. And tell him he's just a piece of garbage.
Oh,
even though you've traded him from your fantasy league,
right.
you haven't forgiven him. Now, last week I went the Jesus route.
Right.
I sent him all that great Jesus stuff, and he didn't do dick. So this week, thank you, Rob.
Okay. Now, you know, I'm half a mind to start the guy. Well, I might have to start him anyway this week after all this gets there.
Dear.
What if he scores 60 points this week?
Then
what if my son...
Then you'll know the devil is all-powerful, Mike.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Do you think... I'm going to sign my name to this, right? So I don't want to write Dear S-H-I for brains.
No, you don't want to do
all right,
that.
Hold on.
You want to know,
dear,
you know, I tried the Jesus route and...
Dear loser.
Oh, dear.
3 years I invested in you. Invested in you. 85 yards passing?
You know what's going to happen?
Question mark?
He's going to get this. You know, who did that?
Well, who's the guy?
Well, which one of those two guys up there in Washington, D.C.? Well, how do we find him? Well, one of them's got you on his fantasy team. Then they call somebody like Big Gum Jr. here and say, well, who's Mark Brunell?
I'm going to sign my name to it as your former owner. Okay? 85 yards passing.
You really are bitter about this.
My dog can pass or more.
Thank you, Dodd.
A hex on you.
A hex.
Enjoy.
A hex on you.
Enjoy my devil-inspired
gifts.
Gifts.
There you go.
And then I'm going to sign 666. You suck.
Oh, dear, you guy had to get it in there, didn't you? You had to. You weren't going to put it at the beginning.
No longer own you. Good riddance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm sure he'll be very pleased to receive that.
Dear loser, 3 years I invested in you. 85 yards passing. My dog can pass for more. A hex on you. Enjoy my devil-inspired gifts. 666. You suck. I no longer own you. Good riddance.
Oh.
Yours in Christ.
You're contradicting yourself there.
Don.
But it does sound a little... That's kind of the final over the edge if you said yours in Satan.
No, you yours know. In Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Don Geronimo.
There you go. And then he'll know who it came from. Right.
Right. You see I signed my name to it, not
it
yours.
Is. Yes.
Buena
suerte.
Charlie, if you would please send him the shrunken head, the Blair Witch Project trees.
Very
stuff.
Good.
And, of course, the necklace made of chicken bone.
There it is.
You would send all of that to Mark Brunell if you
would. I will.
Overnight that to
I'll
him.
I'll see that he gets it by tomorrow.
What a lovely gift.
Overnight that to him.
Look at that. Isn't that great?
That's spooky. Listen, you screw me for 1 year, I'll take it.
Right.
You screw me for 2 years, I'll still take it.
Mm-hmm.
You screw me for 3 years.
Hell hath no fury.
Right. F him.
And now he's out of your stable.
Yes. What are you doing, Charlie?
Putting all the gifts in the shrunken head.
Gifts in the head.
It's
drunken head.
Hey, bring me the number for the guy with the Jags again.
Okay, I called Talia. She is traveling today.
Oh, okay.
We'll be on Letterman tomorrow.
Tomorrow. All right, well, I guess we'll hear from her in the green room on Letterman tomorrow.
Very good.
Could you bring me the number from the guy at the Jags?
I'm going to get right on that.
Would you please? Would you please stop patronizing me? Just get me the goddamn number, please.
That'll be Brent.
Yeah, Brent.
Get that right out, Charlie.
Brent with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tell him I sent Mark a little package. I'm going to warn him and tell him what I sent.
That's good.
Yeah. Somebody's on a shrunken head.
Chicken bone necklace.
And a bunch of Blair Witch Crossing stuff.
Because you care. Because you were so hurt. Because you were so desperately hurt.
I've had enough, Mike.
And he hurt you.
I knew that yesterday. I've been abused. I've been battered by this guy. Mm-hmm. In my mind, I've been raped by Mark Brunell, and I'm not going to let him do it to me anymore. You ever see that movie, The Burning Bed, with Farrah?
Yes.
That's how I feel today.
You going to put him in your fireplace and put the fireplace right across him?
I wish I could.
Not like you're going to burn him or anything like that, but I mean, that's where she kept the guy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, she kept the guy in the fireplace.
Kept him prisoner in there.
Yeah, he's a prisoner in the fireplace.
Would I love to do that.
I didn't mean anything, and now it's Troy, and I hope that you have better luck with Troy than you have with Mark, so you don't have to have this hostility, because I have a feeling, you know, what with Aikman playing for the Cowboys and all, that a hostility towards him can be worked up to an even greater fever pitch.
There's a very good chance. Now, listen, though. At this point, no matter what Troy Aikman does, he's got to be better than Brunell.
Well, I think he got 21 points for me last week.
Yeah, you know how many points Brunell got for me last week?
Buckus?
Four. 4 points.
What, line three, Charlie?
Line five. Thank you.
This gentleman's name, if I remember correctly, is Brent.
That's right.
Brent Williamson.
In PR.
Brent Williamson.
Of the Jags. We got his picture right here in the Jags PR.
Oh, there's the picture.
There he is.
Fine, conservative-looking fellow.
It's Brent Williamson with you.
Hello. Would you like
to... I'm in the Jacksonville Jaguars Public Relations Office. I'll be out of the office until Thursday, October 7th.
Wow.
If you could, please leave it your name, number, and a detail.
Oops, that means Brunel's going to get this package
without any warning.
Immediate assistance, please press 0 and ask for either Elisa Abbott, Rick Korch, or Bahati Van Pelt. Thanks.
Hey, Brent, it's your good friend Don Geronimo from the Don and Mike Show. Listen, I want to tell you some things that have happened here the last week. Of course, Mark blows... He threw for 85 yards Sunday, so I traded him to my best friend Mike, who was a best buddy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to having Mark Brunell on my team, and you know, hopefully he can score some points for me.
Now, hopefully, he'll do good for Mike. However, I got to tell you, I'm so pissed at him, I'm out of my mind. I'm 0-4, and I blame it strictly on Mark Brunell. So I sent him another FedEx package today that will be arriving there tomorrow, Wednesday. In this package, you will find a shrunken head.
It was not a real one, a little rubber one.
In which I've written, throw the effing ball.
Mm-hmm.
Also, some Blair Witch Crossing pieces of sticks that are tied together.
Arts and crafts, Brent.
And also a necklace with chicken wings on it.
That's right, chicken bones. A chicken bone necklace, mm-hmm. You know, for to ward off evil spirits and all.
Because, frankly, I've had it with him. And I signed the letter 666. You know, and I should have written Knight in Satan's Service. But I didn't. But I did tell him to go to hell, and I think he sucks. So when he gets that, if he wonders who it came from, tell him it's from me, his former owner. And he can kiss my butt. And tell him also, I don't wash my butt. Okay?
True.
And I really don't.
And you're proud of that.
Yeah, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. We had a big discussion about that on yesterday's show. Frankly, I don't wash my butt. Okay, well, thank you, Brent. We'll call on Thursday when you're back in the office to make sure Mark received my package.
Bye.
And I'm sure that Mike would appreciate me saying this, that the package was from me, Don, and not Mike.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Goodbye.
Okay.
Well, there. Covered. Done.
Well done.
Finally, I can wash my hands of him.
I think so, too. And, you know, you're the one that does that pregame show. I hope you never have to interview him or anything like that. Hey, how are you? Your name sounds vaguely familiar to me. Nightmare scenario, you know, late, next year, middle of the season. Mark Brunell traded to the Washington Redskins.
Oh! That's the worst. Oh, Mike, speaking of ass.
Yes.
And speaking of ass breath.
Uh-huh.
Here now is Homo Joe.
Homo Joe here.
Got a mic. Homo Joe here.
I'm not offended, Don, by your comment.
Good. And, Joe, I'm glad you're not, but I got to tell you, yesterday you had
the vish breath.
I did, because I took a
tell Mikey I have a portable water kick I like to take to work with me, and I was running late, and I forgot to take everything yesterday.
Oh, dear.
Had a bad day. And plus, you know,
let me ask you a question, Joe.
Yes?
Since we had the subject yesterday, when's the last time you... You had a nice dentist visit.
It would be 6 months ago.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, I go every 6 months.
I noticed how they do it. It's very nice, very clean, very straight teeth.
I never noticed.
No.
Right. Okay. Gotcha. Well, Joe, I'm glad you're not offended, but yesterday you did have the worst ass breath ever.
I apologize. Maybe I might have got lucky over the weekend. You never know.
He's our favorite homo.
He is. A round of applause for Homo Joe.
All right. Goodbye, Homo Joe. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We're going to be listening to Homo Joe's tape here in just a second.
Good.
Of the events from this weekend with himself and Dennis Murphy.
Yes, lots of goings on.
Cheryl the Big Dyke. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey. You know why Homo Joe has such clean white teeth? I can do the same thing for you if you want.
I'm waiting for the punchline here, sir.
What? Come on, think about it. All them,
I don't understand. It's like Shirley MacLaine in terms of endearment. You know, she's... I don't understand what she really does understand.
You don't have little curly teeth and little curly hair in your teeth?
I don't have what?
Little curly hair in your teeth.
Little curly hair? No. No.
No.
So you don't do that with your boyfriend.
What? What? Look, obviously you're making some references to stuff that Homo Joe does, but what would that have to do with the fact that his teeth are very clean?
Well, not clean. I said white. You know how people go to the dentist to get their teeth bleached white?
I understand.
What flows out of a man?
I know you fancy yourself.
You're talking about a guy's geese?
Yeah, as somewhat of a comedy writer, but let me enlighten you. If you're going to do something like that,
my balls.
You know, bring something into the equation Pearl Drops tooth polish.
What do you mean, don't bust my balls? We're here doing a professional show, you idiot. You just drove this.
A wonderful job.
You just drove this show off a cliff, you moron.
I drove the show off a cliff.
Yeah.
What do you think of that, for Christ's sake?
Well, the sound of your voice, when are your testicles going to drop?
When are my testicles going to drop?
Don't answer a question with a question.
So for Christ's sake, if I could dissect this abortion of a joke, and speaking of abortions, why didn't your mother get one? Your joke, if you could have even had that thought to tell it properly, which makes no sense, would be that Joe's teeth are white because of men's semen.
You put down your mother's chin. I don't want to hear anything from you.
Would that be the joke you attempted to foul my airwaves with?
I don't make millions of dollars a year. I'm not a professional.
Right.
Right. There's it. There it is.
That's right.
That is it. We have found.
That's right.
The central point has been identified.
I'm bitter. I'm very bitter.
You're bitter. You
all
should
right.
be bitter.
All
right.
Have fun all day.
Now
you should be bitter.
Now we're making progress.
We're making a lot of progress. Sounds like you might be attempting to be honest.
I am being honest. I'm very bitter.
You're very bitter. Very angry. Very, very angry.
I am. I'm very, very angry. I'm driving on Route 50 right now, and it sucks.
I'm
going to lose this piece of garbage
stuff
at JFK Station here in about 5 minutes.
I'm very sorry that we have fun and you don't have fun. I'm sorry.
Hey, you guys are helping me have fun.
Piece of garbage station. Piece of garbage number one in the afternoon station. Right.
Okay, goodbye now.
Bye.
At least he has a good phone.
What?
Right
you
now he's...
Goodbye, you keep talking?
He's going to hang up the phone and go,
I'm so angry. And they will say, I'm so angry when I leave the theater.
I'll call with the joke about the geese, and they didn't like it, and then they raked me off the coals, and I was so angry.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, buddy.
I thought of one problem with not washing your butt. If you have a chick giving you a hummer, they can smell that.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Romeo. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, all the amateur comedy writers are lining up today. It's audition day.
Hello.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Welcome to Don and Mike's Improv. Welcome to Don and Mike's Funny Bone. Welcome to Don and Mike's Bananas.
Yes, the Laugh Factory is open.
Hello, Nick.
Yes, how you doing?
Hey, we're doing great.
All right, yeah. You guys are talking about having to tell people if they have, like, a personal hygiene problem. And my boss always made me tell my employees that they had a problem. And the worst part of it is when I had to do it to a female.
That would be very difficult, but I mean, you know, if that's what managers do, right? They delegate to the next in line.
You mean like
can handle that
if
stuff.
She had vagitosis or something?
Well, she stank from somewhere, and I don't think anybody ever figured out where it was from.
No.
It was my job to have.
But
to
I
tell
can
her.
Guess where it came from.
Yeah, usually, you know, there are only a few places.
Hello.
And I got news for you, and they're all holes.
Hello.
There you go.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, man.
No, that's not true, though. That's not true, because armpits are not technically holes.
Hello. Hello.
How y'all doing, man?
Hi there. We're doing great, thank you.
Hey, when people call and they're like trying to, and calling that a joke was being pretty generous, man. You got to just like cut the line, man.
Oh, all right. Thank you, sir. Another junior producer on the line now. Thank you. Thank you. Because I don't know anything about running this show. Thank God you called today. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Let me write that down.
We are getting, you know, I tell you, we should really call this Helpful Tuesday.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike!
Ah, finally. Voice of Reason.
Is this a new song? No, it's an old song, different thing.
New arrangement. Quiet, everybody. Trying to listen to my favorite song. Mike's guy sucks.
Wow.
There you go.
Which is Mike's guy?
Your guy, the guy that calls and sings like,
oh, that guy, that's right. No, that could be a very, very skillful ruse.
You still think that might be the same guy?
Well, I thought you suggested that they might be one of the same.
Yeah, but I'm convinced now that they're not.
I thought he might be talking about Sammy Sosa. You know, I'm still wondering whether that's, the anthem from yesterday.
Time out, everybody. More show coming right up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Is it possible the two youths...
The two what? What was that word?
What word?
Two what?
What?
Did you say youths?
Yeah, two youths.
What is a youth?
Oh, excuse me, Your Honor. Two youths.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
As you are listening to us live right now, it is 2:00 in Bakersfield, California, on Hot Talk KGEO.
You like the mysticism? The Don and Mike Show.
See, that was tight.
That was good.
That's tight. That's how we should do every time, I think.
Absolutely.
I just got to figure out what time it is everywhere.
Right.
I had that right. 2:00, right?
That's right. You need 3. You need 3 up on the wall.
You need 4:00, Mike.
Yeah, 4:00, right.
You got the West Coast, your Central, your East, your
Mountain.
Mountain, that's the one we're missing.
Mountain. And don't forget Europe. From all the stations there.
Hey, before we get to the Homo Jose, and we've got a bunch of... I'm here looking at the rundown of the Homo Joe and Dennis Murphy drag bingo tape. It's typical Homo Joe. It's so
it's as good as the Beach House tape.
So goddamn organized.
Okay.
You know... Gays are organized, man. I'll give them credit for that. There you go. You've got, of course, the intro from Homo's house.
Mm-hmm.
We get to meet Homo Joe's friends, Dave the Fag and Mike the Fag.
Very good.
His name's not my name.
Right.
Then you have Cheryl the Big Dyke who comes over.
Mm-hmm.
They finish eating their homo meal.
This is all on the paper that Joe wrote.
Then you have Dennis being asked if he's ready for drag bingo. Mike the Fag gives Dennis instructions. Arrival at drag bingo. Dennis Murphy being interviewed about how he feels, how uncomfortable he is. Eric, fan of the show, asked how does Dennis make him feel.
Mm-hmm.
Then they actually play drag bingo. It's on the tape here where Dennis is brought up on stage and actually falls down.
Falls off the stage.
So we got a whole bunch of great stuff to listen to. But first, you know, you got your Barbara Walters interviews.
Okay.
And you got your Joan London interviews.
Right.
But frankly, nothing compares to the Charlie interview.
Hey.
Hi, Charlie.
Charlie.
In the microphone, Charlie.
It is Charlie. People.
All right, back.
Charlie, baby, Charlie.
Back off the mic a little bit, Charlie. Just back off a little bit.
All right.
Get to know Charlie.
Get to know.
Okay. Closer. Closer than that. Let me hear you say something.
Hello?
Okay, closer than that. Uh-huh. Let me hear you say something. Mic check.
Mic check.
Okay, closer than that. Okay, say something.
Mic check.
Okay.
Mic check. Mic check. Mic check.
Okay, too close.
Hello, is this on?
Too close.
Is this on?
Yes. Too close, Charlie.
Right here.
That's good. Perfect.
Yay. Perfect, Charlie. Perfect, Charlie.
Perfect.
Hi, Don.
Hi, Charlie. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. It's good to be here on the show, just like it always is.
You know, it seems recently you've only been on the show when you're mentioned in the news, like when
I know.
When a plane crashes or something.
That's when my good friend Joe Ottinger, who is my best friend, my best friend in the whole wide world, Joe Ottinger and I go out and do something crazy. He likes to fish.
He loves to fish. You like to fish?
No.
Why?
Too much. Too much. Too many. It's just too much to do. Too much bother. I can buy fish at the store.
So what do you do for...
I like to eat fish.
What do you do for recreation? I know one kind of fish you don't like to eat.
No, don't talk about that. I know
you know what I mean. You know, a girl?
The
girl thing?
No. No, you don't do that.
Have you ever kissed a girl thing?
No. Oh, God. That is so awful.
You just broke the clock. You just broke the clock.
It's okay.
You backed up against the wall and you just broke the clock.
I did not. I swear to God, you did, Charlie. No, I did not, Dad.
What is that in your hand?
It's the clock.
You broke the clock.
I didn't mean to break the clock. I didn't mean to break the clock. Don't tell Mr. Stevens. Don't tell Mr. Stevens, please.
Charlie, come here.
Can you fix the clock? He'll beat me.
No, you can. Listen, you're so much bigger and stronger than Ken Stevens.
I'm sorry, Charlie Boyle. I broke the clock, Charlie Boyle.
Don't tell him to shut up, Charlie.
Hold me to shut up. No, it's fixed. It's fixed.
Thank you, Charlie. Hey, my two favorite Charlies are in the room right now.
Thank you, Charlie Boyle. When he gets really mad at me, he yells, shut up like that.
Yeah.
He does. Did you know that, Don?
Well, I tell him all the time, Charlie. Same thing I tell you. That's rude. Uh-huh. Yep. You don't say that.
He does it all the time when I'm talking. Especially if I get excited about something he'll talk about. He'll just be going on and I'll be telling him like a story.
Yeah.
And then he'll go, shut up. And he'll say it really mean. And then I start, you know, I get like
yeah,
I get
know.
Sometimes. And it really upsets me
all right,
a lot,
well, let me,
Don.
Hold on. Well, let me give you something else to think about.
What?
Think about kissing a girl's place.
No! Oh, God, no! No! That is really bad. You're not supposed to do that, Don.
I did that to my wife.
No!
Yes, I did.
Oh, that's bad. That is really, really bad.
Buzz does that to his wife, don't you,
no.
Buzz? Sure, everybody
no,
does.
No.
Rob does it to his wife.
No!
Yes.
Really, Mr. Rob?
Do you do that to your wife, Robin?
Oh, no.
Yes, he does.
You all do it.
It's a lovely thing.
It is not lovely. It's awful. It's dirty.
That's fine.
It's dirty. It's a dirty thing.
No.
It is a dirty thing.
Have you ever tried it?
No.
Has it ever been offered to you?
No.
Well.
Mm-mm.
Maybe I could introduce you to a girl who would let you try it.
No, I don't want to. I don't want it down there. Down there, Don.
Yeah, okay, what, Charlie?
Down there.
Go to the bathroom. I know it's where you go to the bathroom, Charlie.
I know it's where you go to the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
You know that, Don. You know that, Don.
What about...
You're not supposed to put your mouth...
What about when a girl does that to you?
That's different.
Why is that different?
Because a man told me that.
What man?
Mike.
Mike who?
Mike Rockhead.
Mike Rockhead?
Mm-hmm. He told me it was okay. He told me it's okay when that happens. When that thing happens, he told me it's...
I'm embarrassed to talk about it, please.
When are you talking about sex with Mike Rockhead?
When I'm back in the back room. When I come in. When I come in to visit. When you say, when you call me in.
Yeah.
When you call me in. I always talk to Mike Rockhead, and we talk about stuff like that. And we talked about that.
Let me ask you something, Charlie. Who do you think is the most attractive man on this show? Between me, Mike O'Mara, Buzz Burbank, Rob Spiewak, Charlie Broyhill, and Mike Rockhead.
What do you mean by attractive?
Who's the most handsome?
Oh, the best looking?
Yes.
That's Mike O'Mara. Slam dunk.
Huh.
Going away.
Up to each his own.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you something funny.
I mean, I don't know him that well, but that's my opinion. That is my real opinion, that he's the best looking man.
I'll tell you something funny.
What's that?
Mike Rockhead thinks it's him.
He thinks he's the best looking?
Yes. What are you doing to the chair?
Oh, he knocked it over.
You're going to break the chair, Charlie.
Oh,
you just broke
God,
the clock.
That is so funny. That is so funny. Not to say Mikey Rocket out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Thinks he's handsome.
Oh, my God. That is too funny. He's not handsome. He's got a big nose.
Yes, he does, Charlie.
Really big. He has the biggest nose of anybody on the show. Your nose, Buzz's nose, Rob's nose, Mike O'Mara's nose, Charlie Broyhill's nose. Nobody's nose is as big and long and really hooked as Mikey Rockhead.
Say that. You're
well,
right
no,
about
he's
that.
Got a big, big nose.
He does, Charlie. Mm-hmm, you're
yeah.
right.
So he can't be handsome with that big a nose.
No, he can't.
Uh-huh.
Charlie?
Yes?
I got an interview for you.
I want to do an interview.
Okay, are you ready for this?
Uh-huh.
You want to call the marble lady?
Oh.
The marble lady?
Yes, I do want to call the marble lady. I used to play marbles all the time until I got one caught in my nose.
This is a lady.
They said, Charlie, don't put the marble up your nose. Don't put the marble up your nose. And I had to go to the emergency room.
How long ago was this?
About 3 weeks ago.
How old are you now, Charlie?
Rob,
how old is Charlie
Rob,
now?
How old am I?
I'll tell you in a second.
Okay.
Rob's looking it up in his day planner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I got a birthday coming up in December, though.
That's right.
How you remember Buzz?
Yes.
Buzz Burbank always sends me a card for Charlie's birthday. Thank you.
You know, Buzz has a birthday
Happy
coming.
Happy birthday from Buzz and Marcia.
Right. Buzz has a birthday coming up this week, and don't you know that the girls are coming to put on the show?
The Dr. Feelgood girls?
They're going to do something to Buzz that's never been done on the show before.
Wow.
That's right. Even better when Buzz strapped that snap on to his head.
I can't come, though, can I?
No, you can't.
I never can come to those shows.
You can't come because...
You know why.
Because you would come.
I know. That's what it is. Whatever you mean.
Charlie?
Yes,
on
Rob?
December 13th, you will be 59.
59 years old.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, Rob.
Yes.
In advance. You give me a present, please?
Yes. Same
Thank
as
you.
Always.
Same as always.
So you just got a marble stuck in your nose and you're 58 years old.
Yeah, but I don't care because I'm thinking about Rob's present now.
What's Rob's present?
Cracker Jack. Cracker Jack. For Charlie.
Okay, Charlie.
Cracker Jack box from Rob Spiewak with a bow.
It's your favorite.
It's
here's,
my favorite. I'm
here's the story.
Okay.
She's simply marvelous. Kathy Reinen Savacka is the marble queen of North America.
Marble queen.
She has thousands and thousands of marbles, Charlie. Here is a picture from People magazine of this lady.
Wow, look at all those marbles.
She's covered in marbles.
That's fantastic.
Now, Charlie, we're going to...
I love marbles. What's her name again?
Her name is Kathy.
Kathy? The marble lady in a goodbye. Charlie today is talking to the marble lady because he's so excited talking about marbles.
All right, we're going to give you 60 seconds for this interview, Charlie.
60 seconds for the Charlie interview. And then when the buzzer goes off, that means the time is up.
Right, don't forget to tell her she's on the air.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello, is this Kathy, the marble lady?
Yes, it is.
My name is Charlie Stewang Stablack, and you're on the air on the Don and Mike show, and I'm doing the Charlie interview where I talk to you about marbles.
All right.
I do. I love marbles. Except one time, I got one caught in my nose, and I had to go to the emergency room, and it really, really hurt.
Now, what station are you with?
I'm with a bunch of them. The Don and Mike show, Kathy. It's got a whole bunch of stations all around.
I won't count this in your interview time, Charlie.
Okay, come on. They're in California, and they're in Kansas, and they're in Washington D.C., and they're in Maine, and they're in Vermont.
It sounds like you've lost your marbles, Charlie.
No.
Are we ready to start the interview?
Yeah, I'm ready to start the interview.
Go.
Okay. Kathy.
Yes.
Do you want me to do it in my grown-up voice?
Yes, in your grown-up voice, sir.
Kathy, how many marbles do you have in your
About a million.
Huh?
About a million.
Wow. I mean, wow, that is a bunch of marbles.
That's a lot.
What is your favorite game to play when you're playing with marbles, Kathy?
Actually, probably the game we play at the national tournament.
How do you play it?
Oh, you put 13 marbles in a ring, and you have two people play, and the first one gets 7 of the 13 out wins.
Is it hot?
Yes, that's good.
So it's Stew and Stab-a-lock.
Stew and Stab-a-lock.
Stew and Stab-a-lock.
Okay, you got it.
No, do it again. Stew and Stab-a-lock.
And where are you from, Charlie?
I'm from Washington, D.C.
Oh, I was just there last week. How did we not meet?
Hey, lady, I want you to say my name.
Stew Twang.
No, Stu Wang.
Stu Wang.
Stu Wang. Stu Wang. Stabalak.
Stabalak.
Stabalak. Stabalak. Stabalak.
Stabalak.
All right, so the whole thing, it's Charlie. Stu Wang. Stabalak.
Okay.
Come on.
Stabalak. I'll get her to say, I love you, Charlie.
I love you, Charlie. Stu Wang. Stabalak.
I love you, Charlie. Stu Wang. Stabalak.
Yay.
Very good.
Thank you, Kathy.
Have a good day.
Good luck with your marbles.
Okay, thanks.
Don't lose them.
I know.
It sounds like yours are loose, Charlie.
No, those are just my bowels.
Okay, have a great day.
Hey, bye.
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 What a useless woman she is, huh?
She was fun. What do you mean useless?
Please.
I love talking to her.
I know you did, Charlie.
She didn't even mind when I said my bowels were loose.
Right, Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
As always, great interview.
Thank you, Don.
Put that one in the time capsule.
Thank you, Don.
Don't pick your nose in front of me.
Okay.
I'll see you next time, Charlie.
All right.
Oh, Charlie, don't eat it. Mm. Don't eat it.
Protein. Bye, boys.
Bye, Charlie. I hate it when he takes it and eats it in front of us.
Gross. It's a habit.
I hate it when he does that.
Long-term habit.
Don't have me touch those right there.
Man's got to eat.
Clear the lines. Caller 100 time and secret sound number 5. It's worth $600.
Serious money.
Six bones right now. If you know secret sound number 5, we'll clear the lines to give everybody an equal chance. Call us up at 1-877-365-3636.
The Redskins and the Ronald McDonald House have a special announcement, and here to tell you more is Ronald McDonald himself.
Stay tuned for your chance to name that sound for up to $1,000 only on the Don and Mike Show.
Boy, do I dig this way out music. Let's see, I'll try number 14 this time.
Well, where the hell have you been for the last 6.5 minutes? Here's Don and Mike.
Well, we were just getting a very interesting fact back there, and I'll rip it off and read it here if I can remember to in a second. You know the guy from the Post who last week we outed is hating us,
right?
But never writing about it in the newspaper,
right?
But when he goes online once a week, he writes like all these awful things about us.
Sure, of course, yeah.
Well, today was his day to go online, I guess.
Right. Yes.
And I was just looking at the facts coming over the machine. And the guy said, the letter said, Robbie, check that for me. And I said, don't go right now. Then a second after we got done with the contest, check it and bring it in, because the letter said from the guy that he faxed or emailed in today when this guy, Frank Ahearns from the Washington Post, was online
right, for
an hour talking about radio and his radio column. This guy and his friends emailed in 30 questions about us.
Right.
And none of them made it on the screen. Because obviously they have someone sitting there.
Sure.
Editing stuff out.
Yeah, deleting it.
But one of the questions that I saw, which was about us, was, why do you ignore Don and Mike so much?
Right.
And this guy writes back, Frank Ahern's the guy from the Post, writes back, I don't ignore Don and Mike, but who's that guy that writes? Who's the media critic for the Post? He's a guy, he's on CNN all the time. His name is Howard somebody.
Howard Kurtz.
Howard Kurtz, yeah. This guy, Frank Ahern's, writes back, I don't listen to them, but Howard Kurtz was listening to them last week, and he told me that they called me obscene names that you couldn't print in the newspaper.
Well, we can't do that, and you can print it in the newspaper if we can say it on the radio.
Right. I think, what's the worst we called him? A dick? A moron?
Yeah, that means
an idiot?
Like
a scumbag?
Sure.
A hose bag?
Of course.
A piece of human garbage?
Which is exactly what he is.
But anyway, they're printing that out for us now, all of the comments today from the online session.
Well, that's wonderful. But I think we all know where he lines up. I think we established that last week.
It sounds to me like, from the way this guy wrote the letter into us, the fax into us, that he and all of his friends were emailing in lots of questions about us, but they must have a webmaster or someone who moderates this. So
yeah, does it make sure that the questions about us or the comments about us don't get on there? That's right. Perfectly
Or that
legit.
No favorable comments about us get on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this guy is just, he's like all the rest of them. They've all been the same. They've all been exactly the same.
One of the other things that's on this first sheet that was printing out was a question about us, where it started off, of course, so-and-so from Silver Spring, Maryland. I never listened to Don and Mike,
right?
But happened to tune in last week.
That's always the way it is, too.
When they were discussing you, meaning the reporter for the Post. After that, they went on a long diatribe about the Cox character from Friends. I found this disgusting, patronizing,
embarrassing,
idiotic. You know, meanwhile, if the idiot that was listening to this and didn't like it, you know, he could have just changed the station.
Right. Well, but we always say,
right,
it's what you can do. I found this so bad, and as I got deeply into it, I even was more offended.
Well,
so I stayed with it longer and longer.
And
suddenly, sweat began to appear on my brow, and I hated it more and more.
Let me wait until we get the facts, and I'll read you some of this stuff.
Good.
It was in the Washington Post online.
Yeah, we know what their editorial slant is. Has always been.
And you've got to see the picture of this guy.
Oh, really?
You've got to see the picture.
Oh, good. Oh, wonderful.
Full metal jacket.
Really?
With Drew Carey glasses.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
A dead ringer for Private Pyle from Full Metal Jacket.
Glad they got a hipster right in the column. Fantastic.
Right.
And if you want to circle your calendar, he's on online every Tuesday at 1 p.m.
Oh, is that what it is, Buzz?
If people would like to gather with him next week.
Oh, good.
Very good.
All right, good. Well, I guess a lot of people did today. I'll read that to you in just a second. And if we have time later in the show, I know we're jam-packed today. I just want to take a couple of minutes to tell you what scum suckers the people at WKRK in Detroit are.
Oh, man.
I just want to take a few minutes out of your valuable time, and I want to give out an email address for the program director and the general manager of radio station WKRK in Detroit. Because they, you know, they took us anally. They really did. You know, we were on that station for a while over the summer as fill-in, as we were asked to by the people at CBS.
Right.
They said, this station in Detroit that CBS owns, they just fired their disc jockey. Would you guys loan your show to them?
When we did, we discovered, you know, in this business you find out in a hurry that you got a following up there, and we had quite a following in Detroit. We had a lot of people that, you know, there was a good buzz. There was a good buzz about this show in Detroit. It happened very quickly.
And they got the ratings. They get the monthly ratings, and they see all of a sudden, oh, look at this. In afternoon drive, we went from 0.0, station did not even show in the ratings, to a 1.2.
No.
The next month, it went up to a 1.6. Now, keep in mind, I would not stand from a tall building and crow about the fact we have a 1.6, but
no, that's the way it starts, though. We've been on worse situations like that, and we've, you know, we've usually ended up with a strong showing.
So what happens is they say to us, they've already hired these other schmucks to do the afternoon show. So they say, we want to keep you guys around, though.
Right.
How about, well, how would you guys feel about doing a midday show? So we said, well, can't do it. Because the original thought was we'd come in here and we'd do a four-hour show for Detroit every day.
Right.
Just for Detroit. And then we'd do our regular four-and-a-half, five-hour show for everybody else. So we said to them, listen, how about if we tape delay the show?
And, you know, you get the show the next day.
Right. Like the show that we're doing today on Tuesday would be replayed tomorrow, Wednesday in Detroit. We've got a digital editor. so you could take out any mention of day or date or time or anything like
and,
that.
And, you know, other than that, the show really, I mean, in its own way, is a very generic show that can be plugged in at any time slot.
So we go through, I mean, I mean to tell you, I have meetings with the general manager. I have meetings with the guy from CBS. I have meetings with the program director. I'm listening to their puke pablum. I'm having to walk them through this, to hold their hands on this. Then they say, okay, we're ready to do it. But here's the only thing. You and Mike have got to come to Detroit 5 days out of the month. So then we go back around and around. We say, listen, we can't. We have families in D.C.
Not that I don't think Detroit is probably the finest city in the United States.
See, all the other stations that pick up the show, they all just run it.
Right.
We don't live in their cities.
And we have remarkable success stories
uh-huh.
on so many of those stations.
So then, finally, we argue it. We talk them through it. They say, you know what? We got a deal. This is done. We agree on money.
Mm-hmm.
We agree on a term of contract.
Right.
We agree that Mike and I are going to go to Detroit once a month.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do one show a month from Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And if anything big happens, like when they close down Detroit's Tiger Stadium, we'll go up there and broadcast for the day.
To placate them. Now, that should be said, not because we think it's a good idea, but
right.
just to placate them because it's what they want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want that control.
Right. I can't picture a more boring show. They're going up and broadcasting from a baseball stadium they're going
right.
to tear down. But, you know, I'm telling them we'll do it.
Right.
And damn it, if we have to, we go up there, we make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I've invested time. This MF-er, this program director, he's calling me in my car. He's calling me in the office. He's calling me at home. He's calling me on the weekend. I'm holding their hands through it. They say, that's it. You got a deal.
Mm-hmm.
They go to Ken. They say to Ken, we've got a deal. This is done. Fine. We're ready to sign the papers.
Mm-hmm.
We've worked just on a handshake agreement with them. Well, as it turns out, and this is what pisses me off, these sons of bitches, they lied to me. They call up on Friday, last Friday, and they say, you know what? We can't do that deal with Don and Mike. So we said, why? And they said, well, you know, there's lots of things at play. There's the fact that there's...
the dance. This is the beginning of the dance.
There's the next day syndication. There's the fact that they won't come up here 5 days out of the month. We're worried that if something big in Detroit happens, they won't be able to talk about it. So Ken told me all this. Ken told me that they canceled. I said, wait, no. These are all things that have already worked out with the program director and the general manager.
Mm-hmm.
I said, let me call the PD up,
okay?
Let me talk to this guy, because we've already been through all these problems.
Right.
And we've all decided they're not going to be problems.
Right.
Right? So, in the meantime, I've heard from somebody else what's really going on.
The real truth of the matter.
Okay, here's the real story. There's a disc jockey in Los Angeles, somebody I never heard of, Ed somebody. This guy just got fired from KLSX, the CBS station out there.
Right.
He needs a gig so badly that the people who represent him, his agent, they went to the station in Detroit and they said, if you take this guy Ed,
mm-hmm.
and you put him on your midday slot, we will pay for his move to Detroit and we will pay his salary.
Mm-hmm.
So the people from Detroit go, what? You mean we get a guy to come in here and work for free? And they say, yes. And they say, you know what?
Yeah, that's the bottom line.
Amazing.
So I called a PD up today, this son of a bitch. And I said, hey, Ken tells me you guys backed out of the deal. I thought we had a deal. I mean, I talked to you on Friday. You said it's a go. He goes, I want to tell you, I don't know what happened. I wasn't here Friday, and it wasn't my decision. It was the general manager's decision.
You hear that a lot in this business.
So we go through all the crap. He says, well, there was a problem with you guys wouldn't come live up here 5 days a month.
Mm-hmm.
I said, listen, Terry Lieberman, we've been through this already.
Mm-hmm.
I said, we already agreed. You agreed.
Come up once a month.
The GM agreed. We already worked that out.
Mm-hmm.
He says, well, then there's a problem of you guys not wanting to come up for big Detroit events. And I said, no. We already worked that out. Didn't we? Don't we have that in writing? The Red Wings go to the Stanley Cup. Me and Mike go to Detroit. We do the show.
Mm-hmm.
You tear down Detroit Tiger Stadium, we go up there. You riot, we'll be there. Whatever. And he keeps bull-assing me. And finally I said, Terry, do you think I don't know about the disc jockey from Los Angeles who you guys are getting for free? And then there is silence.
Of course.
And he says,
I didn't have anything to do with that deal.
I said, wait a minute, you're the program director.
Mm-hmm.
Doing this deal? You mean to tell me you're the program director and you don't know anything that happens at your radio station?
Right.
You must be a pretty weak program director, then. He said, well, I said, so what's more important to your radio station? We were on your station for 2 months when you had a 0.0 share of the ratings. In two friggin' months, with nobody in Detroit knowing who we were already up to a 1.6. You tell me that we're the best thing for your station. The general manager tells me that it's the best thing for the station. The people from CBS, Figginshoe, Mason, they agree we're the best thing for the station. You make a deal with us, and then you decide, because you can get something for free, you're going to throw that in. He says, well, that's what we're going to do. I said, well, what's the name of the game here? Is the name of the game to get ratings?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, I got to think about the bottom line here.
That is the name of the game. And that's the, you know, what that is the classic example of the short-term solution.
Sure.
That is not somebody who's thinking about long-term success. He's thinking about the immediate bottom line, which is really, in our business, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way in baseball. It doesn't work that way in anything.
Then I got pissed. Then I really got pissed. I said, wait, I don't believe this. I don't believe that. I said, so you're blowing smoke up my ass for the last month. And he says, no. We know that your show's the best. You guys are the best for this.
Uh-huh.
We know we'll kick ass with you guys. Our research has already indicated that you guys did great. Uh-huh. We still get phone calls asking where you are. I said, so wait. We're telling you we will bend over backwards to send you a show every day that's edited,
mm-hmm.
that has no, you couldn't tell that it was done today instead of yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And we'll go up there whenever you need us. Yeah! Excuse me.
It gets the phlegm going, doesn't it?
But the reason you're not going to do this is because you're getting some schmuck for free.
Right.
I said, you're getting some schmuck for free who just got fired from KLSX because
mm-hmm.
he couldn't get a ratings point on that station.
Right.
He's not going to be able to get a ratings point on your station now. He said, well, it's the bottom line. That's when I just, you know, Ken said to me, when you call the guy, don't lose your cool with him. And finally, I lost my cool. I just said, you know what? F you.
Mm-hmm.
I said, there's another station in Detroit that's interested in our show. And you know what? God damn it. I'm going to give it to them for free.
There you go.
I'm not going to make them pay for it. So that every day you have to get in your car and know you're getting your ass kicked by two guys who are giving this show away for free.
Yeah, we can play that game.
Just to get your ass fired.
There you go.
And then he said, don't take that tone with me.
Don't take a tone with me.
Oh.
And it did not end well.
No, then I hung up.
It did not end well. Then he called back, and you didn't answer the phone.
No,
but you found out it was him.
R69, he called
sure.
me back.
It did not end well. Hey, welcome to the world of radio, ladies and gentlemen. That's
guy's
the way
just,
it works.
The guy's just a freaking liar.
To me, yeah. when a situation like that comes up, we're better off in that situation. You know, we're better off not to be in that situation.
Oh, absolutely.
Because if they have that attitude, that's not the kind of people. They don't have a winning attitude, and that's not the kind of people
right.
you want to be associated with.
Well, here's what the guy says to me. He says, well, we figured that your show was too cost prohibitive. I said, how's that? He says, well, it would cost us $250,000 a year. I said, well, we don't charge $250,000 a year.
Right.
We charge actually less than that,
mm-hmm.
okay? I won't say exactly what it is, but it's less than that. A little less than that. But half of that. He says, well, when you take out the cost to you guys and the cost of the satellite time,
mm-hmm.
then you think about the two commercial avails an hour that you wanted to hold back.
Oh, please.
Because the deal that we would give them is, like all of our stations, you pay a certain amount of money,
yeah.
and we get to keep two commercial breaks an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Out of 18,
mm-hmm.
we get to keep two that we can sell ourselves.
Right.
He says, well, we charge $150 a spot, and over a year, those two or three units an hour come to $100,000.
Oh, jeez.
And I said, listen, you know the problem here? The problem here is, I said, do you know how much a commercial costs on our station in D.C.? Our rate car right now is over $2,000. He said, I find that hard to believe. I said, you find it hard to believe?
Oh, jeez.
Call the sales manager.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting over $2,000 a spot on our show. I said, that's the difference, because we got some numbers and we got an audience that listens to us. When you've got no numbers, you got no audience, you charge $150 a spot.
Absolutely.
I said, so again, this all just comes down to,
mm-hmm.
the bottom line.
And the quick fix, you know, which is what they want.
You'd rather
they
sell a commercial today
right.
for $150 with no ratings
than
wait 3 months,
right.
get some ratings, and go out on the street and sell it for $300.
Yeah, it's short-sightedness. And that really, we've had that before on other stations before. It's good that you don't get into a situation like that because they're short-sighted in all of their decisions, and that is probably why they are where they are.
Right.
I mean, and that's not what you want. You really don't want that.
And I only mention this because the guy truly effed us. I mean, we had a deal
right.
with this guy.
That's right.
This was not something where they said, we're thinking about it or we're close. It was a deal where I'm driving into work talking to the guy, and he says, you know what? This is a go.
Done deal.
I feel good about this. Yeah, it's a done deal. I feel good about this.
Mm-hmm.
This is good. We're going to have you guys on for the fall book. This is going to work.
Yeah.
This is great.
You know, and when they want you, and they're playing that tune, it's it can't happen quick enough,
right?
And then when the nuts and bolts happen, when they all start, the reality of it, and then the short-sightedness comes in, where it's like, well, that wouldn't really be good for the immediate future.
Hey, give me that email address.
Hey, have Roy Hill get me the email address for that station. I'd love to give that out.
I'd love for some of our listeners just to email that. I just tell them, F you.
Mm-hmm.
F you, you two-faced piece of garbage.
That's the radio biz. It's the way it always goes. It really, I mean, there's so many people that don't have that foresight. They really don't. This business is full of them.
That's why I'm pissed today about that.
Sure.
Because, we had a deal with a guy. Mm-hmm. We got a deal with a guy. Plus, we're going to bend over backwards and do virtually another show for him. And we're going to have to edit out stuff. And, it was to the point I had even agreed to ridiculous things like let them put a microphone in my house so that if I had to, I could come on at 11 o'clock in the morning and go, hey, how about those Red Wings? We'll be talking about them today at 11:30. Mm-hmm. I agreed to all these ridiculous things that I'd never agreed to.
Right.
Please. And all because they decided at the last minute they could get another guy for free. And you know what? I wouldn't even be pissed about it if they would just be up front. If they would have just called on Friday and said, guys, we got a handshake deal, but frankly, we're not going to do it because we have an opportunity to get something that will cost us nothing.
You know, it's always been my experience that the successful people in the broadcasting business are people that can see down the road, see 6 months or a year or 2 years down the road. Those are the people that are successful. And one comes to mind, a very successful man that we happen to work for that's able to look at the big picture and also see a little further down the road than his competition. And that's what the name of this game is. If you play the game by reacting to every situation, by making your decisions in a reactionary way, and by making your decisions thinking about the immediate, gratification, it's just like anything else. It's not going to work in the long run for you.
I just hate being lied to.
Mm-hmm.
It just fries my ass.
You should be used to it.
They call Ken on Friday, and they give Ken, in 3 minutes, they say, listen, we decided not to do it. Okay, we got to go. Bye-bye. Click. Ken hangs up the phone. He's looking at the phone like, what the hell's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, these guys, for the last month, I swear to God, they have called me, one time this guy called me, 12 times in one day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was a contact. But when it comes down to tell me that the deal's not done.
No, then they're ghosts.
I don't get a call.
Sure. Right,
of course.
I don't get a call.
Mm-hmm.
Weasel. So I got to call the guy myself, and then he patronizes me, he just lies to me. Oh, crap, I hate that. Mm-hmm. I really do. F him. F him. I mean it. We're going to give this show away to a station in Detroit.
Hallelujah.
We're going to make an example out of them. I know the whole thing with Westwood One was we got to make more money with the show. Well, mm-hmm. Let's be honest. We're doing great. We just saw the financial statement.
Yeah, we're very happy with the situation with Westwood One right now, and we're going to be very, very happy with a station in Detroit. I think that's the best way to do it.
The show is making a ton of money for us at Westwood One. We got great stations and great ratings, but frankly, in Detroit, it's going to be a freebie.
Sure.
Whoever wants it, just so we can shove it up the ass of Terry and Steve. they're worse than Ken and Jeremy.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
I didn't think that was possible.
Yes.
My God.
Absolutely the worst.
Wow.
Christ.
They're the worst.
they hired these disc jockeys to work in the afternoon. And here's another big thing they told me along. The best solution would really be just if we just picked your show up live. Because then there would be no problem with satellite delay.
Yeah, that's right.
And I said, hey, that's great.
That is the best solution.
Said, why don't you just do that? And look at that. We were on for 2 months, and you went from a 0.0 to 1.6.
Mm-hmm.
We're showing you something.
They said they go to these disc jockeys and they ask them. They go to the midday disc jockey.
Now, what is any disc jockey who is in a drive time slot going to say to management when they come and ask them? I mean, they're going to pitch a fit, and that's exactly what they did, because that is the short-sighted way of doing this.
You go to them and you say, listen, you guys are starting tomorrow doing the 11 to 3 shift.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like it, you know, there's the door.
Right.
But instead, they go to these guys and they ask these guys if they want to move out of afternoon drive.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys, of course, say no.
Right.
You know, and then he says to me, so now we've really screwed with their confidence. Now they wonder if we really like them or not.
Amazing.
And they were concerned that you guys would be getting lots of promo time on the station.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. Sons of bitches. Swear to God. Robbie, give me some more chicken bones.
All right.
I'm serious.
Sending another voodoo kit to them.
Yeah, I want to send them a package.
You're madder at them than you are at Brunel.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Mike, fantasy football is just a game.
I understand that. This is real.
This is our career.
This is the real life.
And it's not like some affiliates are screwing us, because we've been screwed by affiliates before.
Right.
Well, there's too much time and work went into this.
I know. You put a lot of time and talked to these guys quite a bit.
Hold their hands through every goddamn step of the way.
Right.
Well, you don't talk about Detroit enough. Well, you talk about Detroit. I said, yes, we'll talk about the F Detroit. We'll go on the other station in Detroit. We won't mention Detroit once, and the show will do great there.
It has nothing to do with our show, really. Mentioning the city has nothing to do with our show.
Right.
Nothing at all to do with our show. If you understand the way this show works, you realize that mentioning what happened in the particular city is not relevant. Even here in our own backyard.
We don't do it.
We don't do that.
You know, I said to the guy, I said, do people care that Jay Leno... he's in Hollywood doing a show. Do people care that David Letterman is in New York? Oh, that's different.
Uh-huh.
I said, it is not different. I said, really? How is it different?
Not different at all. That's the whole idea.
How's it different?
Of doing a national show. You're talking about things that are going on in the country.
He said, you're not here. Let's say there's a problem on the city council. You don't talk about it. I said, if I lived in friggin' Detroit, I would never discuss the city council. That is boring. City council equals no ratings. Christ.
I don't know how it got this far, frankly, if they had that kind of
attitude. No, I walked them through all of it.
Unbelievable.
I turned them around
on
all
that. Maybe
that
was the problem. They had to be walked through it in the first place.
Right.
You know something? It usually happens a lot quicker if they get it. It really does. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
That it usually works a lot quicker when somebody gets the idea.
I thought that these guys were on board because they said, you know what? We're amazed. You guys have a 1.6.
See, that's all they could look at. They didn't understand the show. They didn't know what the show is all about. They really didn't get the whole concept of running the show on their station. They looked at the positive results. They got excited. And then then their true stupidity rose to the surface.
Right. Well, F them. Give me that email, please, Broyhill. Would you ask him to do that, please, Rob?
He's doing it.
He's doing it?
Yeah.
Well, go check on it, please.
All right.
Pull yourself away from your eighth meal today.
Right.
I'll get it, please.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Rob. Your fifth meal today. I'm sorry. It's hot, man.
Sure.
So
well,
hot.
You know, you take it personally.
Pig effers. I mean it. Awful. Stupid inbreds. The last thing I said to the guy, I said, you know, I'll call you in 6 months to see how this is working out for you. Oh, that's right. You'll be fired in 6 months.
Don't take that tone with me.
Don't take that tone with me. Click. F you. Oh, listen, I forgot about the contest.
We're supposed to do a contest now, a nice little contest, Secret Santa.
I am very sorry, Mike.
You feel better, though, don't you?
Yeah, no, I'll feel better when we give out the email address. And some of our listeners that back
feel better now. Come on, you feel better. When you vent like that,
yeah, no,
it's
I feel
good.
Better.
You purge.
I feel better. Where's the email address?
He's still working on it.
Oh,
please. It's bleeding the radiator. That's what I call that. That's bleeding the radiator. Mm-hmm. Do you know what that is,
bleeding the
radiator? You have to usually let the air out of the radiator, the hot air, to let it out before the water can go through the
pipes.
To make sure that you heat the house properly.
Right.
If you don't bleed the radiator once in a while, the house will never be heated properly.
So that's what I was doing?
I believe our house will be heated properly now.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, who's this?
This is Pete from Manassas.
Hi, Pete. How are you, sir?
Oh, hanging in there. How about you?
Don't ask, Pete.
Friggin' great.
No, friggin' great.
Listen, you, my friend, you've won chicken.
Chicken.
That's right.
Chicken.
Kentucky Fried Chicken. Try their new chicken today. Tender roast. Triple crunch zinger. Honey BBQ.
Yeah, now there you go, doesn't it? I mean, talking about chicken like that, that's good stuff.
A KFC original recipe only at KFC.
Great. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. I'm grounded now.
There you go. You're grounded. You bled the radiator.
I'm back.
Anytime Saturday. You need to bleed the radiator, you just let me know.
Rob,
you bleed that radiator.
Listen, you tell Broy Hill, here's what he does. Tell him to go to WKRK.com, and right there they have the email address for the program director. Okay? Don't pick up the phone. Walk back and tell him.
All right.
Thank you. Hurry. Chop, chop.
It's hard for him to do.
Christ.
Move that quickly.
So slow around here.
Problems on the set.
Problem on the set. Listen. Here I go losing myself again.
Yes.
Wallowing in this.
Can we do that? Can we give his address out? Is that okay to do
his
that?
His email address?
Yes,
I don't see why not. It's posted on a website, Mike.
No, you don't see why not. I just you know what I'm asking you. I'm asking you if the guys up there on the third floor are going to... Is that why we might have a delay here?
I think it's so-and-so care of whatever the radio station
is. That's why I'm thinking he might not be showing up with it is because he's up on the third floor.
Well, then how about him coming in? Tell me what the frig's going on.
Okay.
Okay, I mean, I understand your point.
Just that's whenever there's a delay like that, I always think it's because the guys are up on the third floor.
I think it's because they're sitting back there eating their lunch. Charlie and Rob and Rockhead.
You need to bleed the radiator some more. You need to bleed the radiator
I'm
some
Mike,
more.
I'm done bleeding the radiator.
Okay.
Just need the email address. That's all.
Then that tidies it all up.
Thank you. Terry, period, Lieberman... Lieberman at 97.1 FM.com.
There.
Thank you.
There it is.
Thank freaking you. Thank you. That's all I asked for.
You got it now.
Thank you.
It's
everybody blessed. Email this guy and tell him he's a pig effer.
The radiator is
blessed. Hold on. There's no point in 97.1. Can you put it back up for me again so I can read it correctly?
Yeah, I have to write that down.
Please. I'm not talking to you right now. I'm talking to the guy.
I'm talking to somebody else.
I'm talking to somebody else.
Hey, lemonade, that cool, refreshing drink. You know, if you knew
Thank you for your assistance in that, Rob.
You're welcome, Don.
Thank you, Robbie.
If you knew that, you would be a mastermind. You'd be a complete and total mastermind.
Now, how long does it take to retype that and put that up on the computer screen?
I don't know.
You see the frustration here?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. There it is again.
All right.
Terry, T-E-R-R-Y, dot... Lieberman, Lieberman, at 971FM.com.
That easy.
Call him, write him, tell him he's a deal breaker, email him, tell him he's a deal breaker, a scum sucker, and he'll be fired in 6 months.
One little note to Rob. Just give you
no, he just, wrote it down for me.
Okay, there it is. All right.
Terry, period, Lieberman. At 971FM.com.
There it is.
So, and right, I hope you enjoy your free show.
Because you're going to be fired.
Right. Thank you. Thank you. Bleeding over. Thank you for your patronage.
Radiator is bled.
I'm through now.
The house is warm.
I'm through.
Everyone will sleep well tonight.
Feel good tonight. Thank you for your patronage.
That's good.
I thank you. Thank you for sitting through that.
No problem whatsoever.
Now, guys, you can stop putting it on the screen. Now that I don't need it.
Now it's over. Again.
Now it's up there every 5 minutes.
It is case closed. Simply delete that from the screen, please.
Got it. Committed it to memory already.
That's good.
Terry, period, Lieberman at 971FM.com.
Very good.
He had a deal. He reneged on it.
That's it.
That's it. Deal breaker. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
This is the guy that was going to play the secret sound guy.
Oh, the chicken guy. The chicken guy.
I think he was playing he was going to play the secret sound
guy. Yes, he is, Mike.
He won some chicken. You gave him some chicken, and then there was just a tiny bit of bleeding of the radiator that had to be done.
Thank God you're here, Mike.
You know, I'll tell you right now, if my mom was listening to this show, she would love that reference, because we always used to have to bleed the radiators in our, in this old house. And every now and then, Bob Vila would come over for dinner.
Bob Vila.
Are you ready to go for $600?
Yes, I am, sir.
Secret sound number 5. Have you heard it before?
Yes, I have.
Oh, yeah? Well, here's a free listen for you, just for sitting through my incredible tantrums. Oh, but you laughed during it.
See, that was very bad timing because you laughed during the free play, sir.
I'll give it to you again. Here it is for free.
See, I laughed after it.
That's your free listen. And now, for $600, name this noise. Please do not answer until after the scary music and Mike sings like Hank Hill.
I'm going to give you a blood radiator one today.
Are you ready?
All right.
Hello?
Hello.
Okay, here we go.
Caller, name this noise.
I feel so calm now.
Yeah.
I'm at peace. I'm at one now.
Mm-hmm.
Send in that email. Here's Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you. I enjoyed that twist.
Hey, I'm gonna try to have big for me.
Pick one.
Somebody blocking a door.
No, I'd say they're both wrong.
Right. Oh, we're sorry.
Fine effort, though. No.
Thank you, though. Thank you. Enjoy your free chicken.
Oh, I appreciate it. You guys have a good day.
Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, just remember
thank
that
you.
Every guess is a clue,
oh,
for,
a clue for
you.
Thank you. We'll be back with more show after this.
This is the Don and Mike.
Right now, Ed, you know what? I would like you to take a look at the tote board, sir.
I'd love to do that. All right, let's see it. Number 17,000. Oh, thank you, brought us good luck, Tyler.
Yeah. Ed, yeah. Count the numbers again.
17,000.
17.
What did I say, thousand?
Baby. Million, baby.
See, I'm just trying to get you angry with me so you'll give me more money. That's what it is.
Oh,
17 million. I'm sorry.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, everybody loves Donna Mike.
Thank you, Ed. As we speak now, if you're listening to us in Baltimore, it's 6:03, and you're listening to good old WJFK.
The kings of the best people ever, Don and Mike.
We're into serving our affiliates.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. Like they would have served those pig effers in Detroit.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen now.
Nope.
All right, I'm past that now, though.
Good.
We're
going
to listen to Homo Jose here.
It's actually warm and toasty in here now.
Yeah, it's fine now.
It is. The radiator has been bled.
Nice. Hello.
Hey,
Don and Mike show.
How you doing, bud?
Hey, we're doing great.
Listen, I'm sitting there eating my dinner. Excuse me. And I'm getting angrier and angrier. I'm not realizing why until I really put two and two together. Your story is so relatable into business, how I've been screwed over in my business by so many people, put so much time and effort into it, and have them turn around and go to some other client.
You know, this would apply to any area of business. Realtors come to mind, you know,
sure.
They get a deal on a house, and then, you know, at the last second it goes south. Yeah, it applies to any area of business. Sure it does.
But radio guys are just the biggest pig effers of all.
Oh, it's a real strange breed in radio.
You know, I understand what you're saying, and I'm sure that you've had some crappy deals go bad, but I'm telling you, nothing slimier than dealing with a general manager and a program director.
I was over at your station today. We're going to be doing some work rearranging the parking lot and putting some stencils down to get your parking situation under control.
Cool. Oh, well, thank God.
Well, we will make, you know, you let us know if that deal goes south. Because you're dealing with radio people now, you know. You really are. No, actually, you're not. You're dealing with the guys that own the building.
Yeah.
I think they're a little different.
I do have one recommendation about the parking downstairs.
Yes.
Would there be any way, you know, the last time that they redid the parking, what they did was they moved all the stripes so that the places were smaller so they could fit more cars in.
Yeah.
They've done
that. It's a tough lot.
Over the 8 years that we've worked here,
right.
They've probably moved the lines 3 times down there
to shrink the size of the parking
lot. Where there used to be an area where you could park 5 cars.
Right.
Now you're supposed to get 7 or 8 cars
right.
into the same area. Would there be any way that you could paint the lines so that they could go back to the way it used to be?
No, I'd like to, but that's not what we're going to be doing. We're just going to be putting basically JFK in title, assigning the spots.
Oh.
Try to straighten out the situation so you guys can have your own spots.
You mean you didn't get the memo about the gold star that goes in Don's and my space?
Johnny, Ed, and Doc.
Right, that's what we had wanted before.
Yeah, Johnny. Is there any way you could do that, Johnny, Ed, and Doc?
We can do it. No problem at all.
Good. Oh, that'd be fantastic. That would be
that
funny.
That would be great. Those 3 spots right next to each other.
Oh, I would love that.
Oh,
that would be great.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you. Oh, here is Homosexual Joseph. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Don and Mike. Dennis and I just were talking. We
will go up to Detroit and wear sandwich boards as the Supremes and advertise a new station when you get one.
Is he a loyal follower of this show?
That's great.
He is. Well, Joe, if you would like to go to Detroit and dress as the Supremes and wear a sandwich board.
Don and Mike belong here.
When we get
Don and Mike belong in Motown.
When we get our new station, more than welcome.
There you go.
Now, Joseph?
Yes, sir.
You know, I got so pissed at that station, I took about 15, 20 minutes talking about them. I didn't have time to get to your tape. How much of this tape that you gave us of Dennis at Drag Bingo should I listen to? Can you hit me to what the highlights of this tape are?
There's some good little, campy type little things, that fags do well,
Little vignettes?
Yeah, there you go. But I like the part where, I think you'd like the part where Dennis says he's a fag.
All right, I'll go. Homo, as a matter of fact, why don't you stay on the line for a second?
Okay.
Good.
And if we have any questions, we will defer them to you.
Very good.
Let's now relive this past Saturday night at the Hilton Hotel in D.C., where Joe and a bunch of his gay friends got together.
For a big drag bingo party.
Right, some kind of charity benefit.
I think of the Whitman Walker Clinic. All proceeds went there.
You're right. Here's the intro from Homo Joe's house, in which we'll meet Homo Joe's friends, Dave the Fag, Mike the Fag, and Eric the Fag.
All right.
And they all introduced themselves to Cheryl the Big Dice.
Fantastic.
Here we go.
Big Dave the Fag, Gina.
Oh, they got to rewind it, little Robbie.
That's where it picked up.
Oh, that's where it picked up.
Okay. Anonymous person. And Eric. And we're all here to dress up Mr. Dennis P. Murphy for Drag Bingo.
Right.
We have just finished a wonderful meal provided by...
Don and Mike, Homo Joe here. Homo made us the most amazing dinner, and I'm so full. This is one full Big Dyke.
They're great. They're getting to be great, great 1-2 punch.
Oh, there's Dennis. Hold on, rewind that, Robbie. Is that Dennis burping?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Boy.
All right, let me hear. Here we go.
I really enjoy this.
Do you have enough food?
I think that's a compliment in some countries to the chef.
Dennis Murphy.
Jesus. Oh, God. That was a good day.
So, Donna, Mike, you have this to look forward to. Or Buzz, whoever wins this race with Dennis Sue overnight.
Yeah.
Mike,
that's you, Mike.
Thank you, Jeff.
After dinner.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Joe. It's a little quiet on the tape right now, Dodd.
It's out of my combo, Joe, here.
Combo, Joe.
All right,
everything.
All right. Around. Don't get the power all over your clothes.
Yeah, there.
I guess they're making him up right now. What was that?
Yeah, let me ask. Hey, Homo Joe, how come the microphone is so far away?
I'm on one side of the dining room table because I couldn't get too close with two drag queens. They're getting ready,
All right, so are they putting the makeup on them at the dining room table?
Yeah, I think Cheryl had the camera right halfway to the dining room table, so I couldn't get too close.
All right, when do you get close? When will we be able to hear again?
Very soon. I'll go ask Dennis how he feels being made up.
Oh, okay, I see. Robbie, go to Mark 153, please.
Got it.
Okay.
All right, thank you, Joe. Hold on.
Okay.
We've coded the tape so that we can get right to the good
part. That's because we're a sophisticated operation.
Bingo here with the lovely Denise Murphy.
Hello?
Hello, where?
Hello.
So, Denise Murphy, how do you feel down here in the gay bingo?
So far, I'm a good kind, but... the clothes I have on, this wig, the pantyhose, is so uncomfortable.
Dennis, you know you look like Carol Channing.
Oh, thank you. Joe. You look like Joe.
Oh, that's scary, Dennis. That's very scary. But so, Dennis, do you feel like a fag tonight, or do you feel like a heterosexual in women's clothes, or what?
I feel like a real fag. Oh, I can't believe women who can wear pantyhose. You got so uncomfortable.
Or men. So, Dennis, does women's clothes get you erotically aroused,
Oh, Joe.
No. Oh. No, absolutely not. These women's clothes are so uncomfortable.
So, Eric, you said Dennis makes you erotically aroused?
Well, I tell you, I started looking at him this way. I think it's the hair coming out of the back of his dress that makes me the horniest.
Oh. You know, Don, I think we bring a little little taste of cable access to our show when we do this. I like that feel. It's kind of that, you feel like you're tuning into one of those strange channels that you don't know what's going on.
Now, Joe, who are we are we listening to here? Who's that that was just talking?
That's Eric, who is Sasha's lover.
Sasha's lover.
Right now, who are all these guys with the fag after their name? Who is Dave the Fag and
Dave
Mike the Fag?
Dave the Fag is when we were down at the beach house with Cheryl's good friend, and he is a good friend of Dennis's, you know.
Okay, all right. So I remember him from the beach house.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So what about
Eric the Fag is just everybody's a fag, you know, just so you know who's who.
Ah, very good. Okay, so Eric's just a friend.
Yeah, just a friend.
Very good. Everybody doesn't mind everybody.
Mike was Sasha.
Sasha. Okay, so he dresses as a guy.
Yeah, he was the one that was so sweet to come over and do the makeup for me for Dennis.
All right, listen, we have to do a break. Can you set up what's next as we hear Dennis and Homo Joe playing gay drag bingo?
Well, I don't know what Rob's pilled, but there's some good things about when they talk about the different balls and the different meanings.
Oh, you mean the bingo balls?
The bingo balls.
Ah, when it starts getting rowdy at the drag bingo party.
All right, let's do that. And also, Rob, I'm looking ahead on the cheat sheet that Homo Joe gave me. It has Cheryl the Big Dyke interviewing lesbians.
Yep.
I might want to hear that. The fairy dust lady sprinkles glitter on everyone.
Oh, fantastic.
Dennis Murphy screams, I'm really a fag now.
crowd, he gets his glitter.
Crowd gets rowdy wanting to play bingo. Let me see. Beefcake Klein introduced wearing a Speedo, playing cards, nipple ring, and glitter. What the hell is that?
Well, he has a pair of Speedos on, very small, and he has a whole bunch of playing cards, and he has glitter all over his body and nipple ring, and he's the guy that's like at the, you know how the girls walk around the ring to say what game it is?
Ah, I understand, yes. He's the ring girl.
But he's the ring girl.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. All right, hold on, Joe. Hold on just a moment.
Yeah, we're taking a little peek inside a world we don't visit very often.
We'll be back with more of this in a moment.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You know, when I went to school, there were men's residences, there were women's residences, and there was one co-ed dorm. But it is now the norm on most college campuses across this country that dormitories are co-educational, except in one state. There's one state that bans...
McTree!
Okay. I have no idea what he's saying. Anyway, there's one campus where there are co-educational facilities.
Somebody won't show me the way. God damn it.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Is it tomorrow?
Yeah.
Thought it was today, but it's tomorrow. Leah Remini will be on Dave Letterman, and she will call us from the green room.
Yeah, we're very excited about that. She's very nervous, and we're going to reassure her.
Yeah, we're going to walk her through it tomorrow.
Yeah, because we're such experts on going on those late-night talk shows.
So she's going to be on tomorrow. And tomorrow we're going to play Match Game 99.
Yeah, I love that game.
With a special celebrity. If you would like to come down and play the game in person, and you can wear your clothes,
mm-hmm.
You know, clothing optional.
Uh-huh.
But if you want to take your top off,
of course, it's okay.
Fine.
Probably have a better chance. I've got to stop. It's such a bad habit.
But no,
it's clothing optional.
Don't have to be naked. If you want to play Match Game tomorrow.
So when you say clothing optional, explain what that is to me.
That means if any hot chicks want to come down and take their shirts off tomorrow, they could play Match Game topless.
But it's not a requirement.
No, not a requirement. But the judges might, you know, smile upon you if you did.
Oh, very interesting.
But if you're interested in playing Match Game 99, that means you'd have to come down to the station tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
about an hour into the show. We need how many contestants, Robbie? Four?
Six.
Six contestants for Match Game 99.
Six contestants.
So if you want to play, call us right now at 1-877-365-3636.
Good.
You'd be interested in playing for fabulous cash and prizes tomorrow in person on Match Game. Now back to Homo Joe, Cheryl the Big Dyke,
mm-hmm.
and Dennis in drag.
Drag bingo.
Here we go. Back to the tape. We're up to... They're inside the hotel.
They're at the bingo parlor.
They're waiting for the bingo to start, and here is Cheryl talking to some lesbians.
Would any of you like to be interviewed at the Knox? Hi, this is Cheryl the Big Dyke at Las Vegas, Viva Las Vegas Bingo, a fundraiser for Whitman Walker Clinic. And I wanted to ask you why you're here and why this means something to you.
I was curious about what a bingo session would be about, and I thought that I'd come. And it means a lot because if it will help in any way in the cure of AIDS, I'd be glad to participate.
So you believe, like a lot of well-educated people, that the AIDS crisis is not over. Even though we have the drugs, we still need the money, and we still need to do things like this because people need to get their drugs and get their care, right?
I agree with that and all.
You know, don't be fooled by Cheryl.
Yeah, right.
When she comes on our show and comes to Las Vegas now, Cheryl, she whips off her top and she has that Billy Idol harness on.
Mm-hmm. Cheryl is
quite the activist.
She really is. An activist, and I believe that through all of it, Cheryl has a little agenda she wants to get through, and we're all for that, Frank.
Sure. Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no problem. Keep saying it.
Well, until people are more aware of the problem, you still will have the problem.
You ready to have a good time?
Yes, I am. Let's get started.
Good luck.
Are you sprinkling fairy dust on everybody? I noticed you going around sprinkling stuff on tables.
Is that really a microphone?
Huh?
Is that really a microphone?
No, it's a penis, honey. Is that really a microphone?
Come on. It's really the Donna Mike Radio Show. Wanna...
Wow. Well, yes, actually, I am sprinkling fairy dust on everybody. Would you like some?
I think I would love some, and I would like to have some on Dennis Murphy, our major star from the Donna Mike Show, who we dressed in drag today. He's our straight man incognito.
Excellent.
So you're going to sprinkle my fairy dust on you, Dennis.
Oh, he's not straight anymore, huh?
No, you're not straight anymore, Dennis. You're now official homosexual.
Ain't I?
He's a real fag now, ain't I?
Robbie, let's go to
Dennis Murphy, the grammarian.
Oh, I can't wait. 1440, Robbie.
Is it Saturday yet?
Jesus. I will be coming to your house, Mike.
Jeez, man, I swear to God.
I'm a real fag now, ain't I?
Yeah, ain't I?
Okay, here's the introduction to Gay Drag Bingo.
John and Mike, he looks very festive, I say.
Everybody ready to win? Thank you for coming. And this is a very special event that is part of the fundraising program for lesbian and gay services at the Women Walker Clinic. So we thank you very much. I also want to thank the wonderful volunteers, and I want a great round of applause for them. Because you know what? Without them, it wouldn't be possible.
He's thanking the volunteers for the evening.
Yeah, a ton of homos there.
Room full of homos.
If you look in your program, you will see also quite a large list of sponsors of the...
All right, I'm bored with this. Robbie, let's go to, let's see. Oh, the bingo oath, 2508.
Oh, there's an oath.
And what is like the oath that we take on Elvis' death day?
Like, freedom from constipation?
Yeah, Elvis Presley, 80.
All right.
We're queuing past a lot of... what sounds like introductions, where they bring various drag queens up on stage.
That's true. Okay. Tough to hear that.
Here we go. Here's the bingo oath with Dennis Murphy.
And for our bingo oath, everyone stand up, grab your little bingo dauber. Is this in their program as well?
No.
Okay, you just have to repeat off after this drag queen. Let's see if she can get through this. I solemnly swear. To remember. That I am here to raise money.
That I am here to raise money.
To support the health. Of my brothers and sisters. I know that bingo is only a stupid game. But I will play bingo. To help build a stronger... community for all.
Dennis is like the I state your name, state your name.
He is also, he has the attention span of a 3-year-old.
He only gets the last three words.
Right, absolutely.
Okay, please remain standing.
And that was Dennis Murphy's oath on him, Mike. He's such a bingo addict. And I'm such a fag.
You sure are, Joe. You sure are. Hold on, back it up, boy. We missed the funny.
We missed the funny.
All right, hold on. Here it is.
Sorry about that.
Bingo addict.
Now, if we could get all
and I'm such a fag.
All the heterosexuals in the crowd, please sit.
Oh.
All the heteros, all right, girl.
All the heteros to sit down.
So he's saying, all right, girl. And
we have three heterosexuals here tonight. One back there. Hi, heterosexual. Take your feet, honey.
Oh, Jesus.
Hi, heterosexual. My mom, my aunt. Okay, now all you married folks, please take a seat. Married folks, married folks, married folks.
Oh, all the married...
Sounds like a little controversy.
Should I rephrase that? Anyone in the room that's gone on more than 3 dates with the same person, please.
That's typical fag talk about.
It should be Drag King Ken as Elvis.
Okay, take a look around. These are the single boys. We just put little boys and girls. We just wanted to give you a heads up, you know, in case you're like Cruz in the room or something.
All right, let's go to 3110.
All right.
This is, I guess, the first bingo of the night.
Ah, good.
Although, I guess the way they play it was Mary, that you want to spell Mary, because it says we have a Mary.
Oh, so you go, Mary.
Bingo. I don't know. Or maybe it's a girl named Mary who won the bingo.
Mary, I won.
I'm not sure.
33.
Nice. Is that Kennedy?
43.
Yeah.
We have a Mary. We have a Mary here, Donna Mike. That means we have a wiener.
That means Mary is bingo.
So they don't play bingo. They play Mary.
Hmm.
Okay, let's go to Dennis Falls Off Stage.
They're looking forward to this one.
36. 36, please. 3600.
It should be the highlight. Right. Dennis falling off the stage.
Okay, here we go.
Ready.
G-51,
okay.
O-72.
Oh, we have a
big
bingo.
We have our first reader, thank you.
All right.
A terrible drag queen.
It's rough in those class, isn't it, honey?
Has he already fallen down now?
I don't think so.
Rob, has he already fallen down?
After poring over the tape dozens of times, the best I can figure it, that's when Homo Joe, Dennis, and Cheryl are calling a game, and as they have a bingo or a Mary, they're stepping down, Dennis trips and falls. It's never said, but there is a small laugh there.
Oh, so have we already heard Dennis falling down?
Yes, I'll roll it back so you can hear it again.
Oh, that's all right.
Okay, no, don't bother.
Don't worry about it.
Game number three. Now, before we get to game number three, Mr. BK, where are you running to?
I liked it much more just hearing Homo Joe interview the various guys in the crowd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's go to 4215. The crowd is very angry that bingo was called an error.
Ah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Angry.
I said, oh, we got an angry bunch of homos.
I'm so angry.
Okay, here we go.
Upset.
Very angry.
What happens when you don't have bingo?
Those cards off, honey. That's okay. We'll let it go this time.
No.
Don't be embarrassed, honey.
Don't be embarrassed, honey.
Embarrassment is when you have the smallest bit of the orgy, not when you scream bingo. Too early.
Did he just say embarrassed when you have the smallest penis?
A word for penis, yes.
Okay.
Ah, very good.
That's what I thought.
It was doctored.
Okay.
Cover your ears, Barbara. You shouldn't hear that. Keep on going, Barbara.
Brian! Page 10.
Could you imagine this? Sitting in this room.
Yes, I can.
Could you picture this?
Sounds like a wonderful party.
All these homos dressed in drag playing bingo. And Dennis.
So, is he straight from the dust I put on him a little earlier?
47.
Yeah. He fell off the stage. He was so gay.
Really?
Yeah. He's looking for a straight woman tonight.
Good luck. There are three of us here.
Beware. Be very afraid.
So, is Joe talking to a straight woman?
Let me ask.
Sounded like Joe was talking to a straight woman.
Joe, who are you talking to there?
That was Glitterama. She's one of the three straight women that was at the bingo.
Is she a hottie?
Oh, she was very hot. Denim was all over her. She was wearing a blue veil.
Yeah. Really?
Okay. All right.
Okay, let's hear the rest of this.
Wait.
That's it, I guess.
That's it.
Okay, Joe, that's it?
Yeah, we ran out of tape, Don.
But you had a good time, right?
It was pretty good. It was really good.
Well,
that comment when Dennis fell off the stage, Gladys Kravitz basically said, honey, it's hard when you have flats on rather than heels. And that's the chip.
Joe, nonetheless, we thank you for the tape. I think we all got a real feel of what a room full of 500 homos dressed in drag playing bingo sounds like.
Hope you had a big success with the evening.
Yeah, and I got lucky. I got two dates out of it. Dennis got none.
There you go, Joe. Mm-hmm.
So did you get laid?
Yes, two times.
Uh-huh. Oh, my.
Two separate guys?
Two separate guys.
Oh, Joe.
I know. One was riding a Harley. That was kind of fun.
One was riding a Harley.
at the time? Joe, you're going
you're gonna
bring this videotape to the next Vegas-style show, right?
Yes, I have. And I have the other one, if you want that as well, from the beach house.
Of Dennis snoring?
Yes.
Yeah, why don't you bring that one? Just cue that one up to where Dennis is snoring, and then we can throw the new tape on to see Dennis dressed in drag.
Okay, I will do that. I'll do the wonderful snore that you have on that. It'd be my pleasure.
Joe, as always, thank you. And please thank Cheryl the Big Dyke also.
Yeah, she did all the video for us, so we'll have the wonderful videotape one more time.
Beautiful. Thank you, Homo.
Thanks, Joe. My
homosexual
pleasure.
Joseph. Thank you.
Righto. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Righto.
He gets nervous sometimes.
Bye-bye. Sure.
He does one of those...
There he is, our roving reporter. And remember, he pitches, he never catches.
That's right. I guess he threw a couple of pitches that night.
Buzz?
Yes.
What is your lead story on the news and comments tonight?
Top story tonight, Oprah for president?
Oh, we
get to do our Oprah skit again.
There you go.
The landslide has begun.
Excellent, so to speak, Buzz.
You
should see the landslide in her bathroom.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Back with more news and comment in a moment.
This is the Don and Mike Show, where wrongs are righted and rights are eliminated. The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Okay, it's the third time we heard that now.
Thank you.
Hey, Mark.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Well, it's true.
Pork is not a verb.
I saw that. The members of the Reform Party are looking at Oprah as a possible presidential candidate. Party members from Minnesota have set up a website to draft Oprah Winfrey for next year's presidential race.
She's very upset about it, Buzz.
She's in the bathroom now and she won't come out.
She has bad diarrhea, and I know that Stedman has someone from the Reform Party with her.
Mm-hmm.
Stage fright.
Let's take you to outside her bathroom right now. Stedman's there. We're going to go to the satellite right now.
Hey, baby. Baby. Baby, it's me, Stedman Graham. Baby. Oh, baby.
Hello, Oprah. This is the governor of Minnesota.
Baby.
Jesse Ventura.
Baby, I brought Jesse the body. Oh, Jesse, listen. Listen to my baby.
Hey, Oprah.
Please open the door, Oprah.
Come out of the goddamn bathroom.
Now,
come on.
Governor Ventura.
I'm sorry.
No reason to talk like that to my baby.
Tell you, she's not. She's being... Hey, Oprah. You're being a big baby. You're embarrassing. Baby. Me and the people of
baby.
Minnesota.
Baby, don't listen to him, baby.
Stedman.
Baby, open the door, baby. Yes.
Stedman.
Yes, Mr.
Don't
Ventura.
You embarrass me. I swear to God I'll throw you right out the window.
Listen to my baby in there. Baby, this is your boyfriend, Stedman Graham.
And
come outside right now, baby, and everything will be okay.
Oprah. As a representative of the state of Minnesota, I urge you to come out of the bathroom now.
Oprah, baby. Baby, this is Stedman Graham. I don't hear anything now. Are you feeling better, baby?
I can't hear her either. Lisa.
Baby, open the door, baby.
Oh, man.
Oh, baby.
Oh, man.
Oh, baby.
That's horrible. Look at that. Jeez, she's got to be in distress. Somebody call 911.
No, baby.
Dial 911.
Baby, this is Stedman Graham, the world's most understanding boyfriend.
That's good. Yeah, try to talk. Sweet talk her. Sweet talk her.
Baby, I didn't get mad when you gained 100 pounds.
Don't mention the weight. Look at what you did. Now she's farting again.
Baby, you know I love your big ass.
Oh, there you go. Oh, my God.
God.
I love it when your boobs get so big when you're fat. Baby,
don't use the F word. And I'm not talking about the bad one. I'm talking about fat. She won't come out of there. She'll have diarrhea for the rest of her life.
Baby, I put on the dog collar, baby. Please come out, baby.
That's right, Oprah. He's got a dog collar on. And I order you, on behalf of the state of Minnesota, to come out of the bathroom and come out now.
She don't respond to that kind of talk, Mr. Ventura.
What do you want me to do, Stedman?
Well, you have to talk nice to my Oprah.
Well,
oh, baby, listen to that baby.
All right. You mean sweet talker?
Yes. You have to empower her to come outside.
I gotta what?
You have to empower her.
I don't understand that word.
Of course not.
That means you gotta give a power.
Power, okay.
You have to empower her.
So I still don't get it, but I'll try. I'm not bright enough.
I don't either. I watch Jerry Springer. Oh, baby, I didn't mean that, baby.
Oh.
I don't watch the Jerry Springers. I only watch the Oprahs.
Hey, Stedman.
Yes, Governor.
How about I just sweet talk the way only I can?
Baby, this is your boyfriend, Stedman Graham. Governor Ventura is going to talk to you now, baby.
Hey, baby. Come out the bathroom. Come out the bathroom now. You're really, I've seen you on the TV. I've seen you on the TV. And you are a grade A piece of ass.
Oh,
come
on. Now, baby, don't be offended by that.
What do you mean offended? I was sweet talking her like baby. I do all the hookers.
Baby.
Oh, God. Hey, Stedman.
Yes, Governor.
I'm going to have to blow this popsicle stand. Pardon me, this fudgicle stand. Hey, I can't stand the air out here.
All right.
I'm going
Thank
away.
You, Governor.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
See you later.
Baby.
Bye-bye.
Baby, please. Open the door, baby.
Yeah, she's not responding.
This is Stedman Graham, your boyfriend.
And this is the Governor. I'm leaving this. She's farted. God, get me out of here.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Our Oprah skit of the day. Thank you.
Stedman Graham and the governor of Minnesota try to get Oprah out of the bathroom.
Love that.
The chairman of the draft Oprah committee says Winfrey is Jesse Ventura times 100. He says she has a lot more money and a lot more name recognition and, quote, a sterling reputation for honesty. A spokeswoman for Winfrey says she's not interested. A spokesman for Jesse Ventura says, and I quote, it's almost like we have celebrity-itis in the Reform Party.
Buzz, time out there. Mike and I apparently ate up all your time for your news. What with our award-winning Oprah in the bathroom.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody. Please.
Thanks a lot.
And we have to get out of our makeup now.
We'll be back. Plenty more news, plenty more comments coming right up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I wouldn't get Charles Barkley an apology at gunpoint. So he could never expect an apology from me. If anything, he owed me an apology for coming to play with his sorry fat butt.
Well, first of all, I want to address something. I hear ESPN is trying to f*** me. And you guys are trying to make a controversy. There's not going to be a controversy. I was joking around with one of my friends. And that's it. If you don't like it, f*** you and your families too. Now let's talk about the game.
Everybody loves Dynamite.
If you live in Wichita right now, it's 5 minutes until 6 o'clock, and you are listening to the Don and Mike Show on Talk Radio KFH.
If you please, their show is filled with blood and cheese. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Ramos, were you fishing for a plug a moment ago?
No, not at all. It was something that occurred to me that I hadn't told you. I thought you'd find amusing, so I told you.
And you hear the response that Charles Barkley had to Scottie Pippen? Did you watch any of that on SportsCenter today where he was talking about carrying a gun?
He said, yeah, I carry a gun.
Pretty weird.
He'll apologize.
Yeah, really.
So I'm standing with John, taking a leak.
Right.
And buzzes are there, and he says, so, you know that real estate home show I do on the weekends?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah. And he said, it's on the web.
Yeah.
I can be seen around the world.
Streaming video. Really?
Yeah, and I had streaming urine at the very same time.
That's true.
You know, if you want to plug, Buzz.
No.
Just ask for the plug.
No plug.
Well, where can we see this, Buzz?
Well, it just runs every single day of the year at 9:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on Media General Cable, soon to be Cox Cable.
But what about on the web?
Oh, it's on the World Wide Web at www.gofairfax.com.
He was ready for that.
Just ask, Buzz.
No plug.
Just
necessary.
The plug away, Buzz.
I know you've always been, you know, sort of amused by that, so I thought you'd enjoy the fact that it was on the web.
By your real estate show.
Sure.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Buzz.
That's
well, then, listen, don't mention it.
Okay.
Just anytime you want to plug, just throw
it in. I want to plug one of my buddies or sometime, anything I want to plug, I can come to you, see you in the bathroom.
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
Anything you're doing, Mike.
What's that?
Anything you're doing
yes.
can be plugged on the show.
Oh, okay. Anything I'm doing.
But not your buddies.
Oh, my buddies.
Tell
right.
your, buddies, so your
okay.
buddies to call Tom Gavin in the sales department.
All right. Well, I guess I'll drive down to the Blue Ridge Seafood Restaurant tonight and say I'm very sorry.
Okay. You just did it.
Oh, God. What an oversight.
Whoops.
Well, while Warren Beatty is talking about running for president, the president is talking about taking up acting. Mr. Clinton was at a fundraiser.
That's right. To be or not to be. Will that be the question? Are you talking to me? Are you talking to me? Yes, sirree.
Hi, this is Donald Ephraim. I'm the agent for the president. He will only do a movie if it has a nude scene.
Absolutely. And if there's an outside shot, you could get me a love scene with Michelle Pfeiffer. That would mean so much
Bill,
to me. Yeah.
Stay cool.
I can't.
Stay cool.
Practically bursting, if you know what I mean. Donald Ephraim.
Mr. Clinton was at a fundraiser at Rob Reiner's house over the weekend and said, if Reagan could be an actor and become president, maybe I could become an actor. The president also revealed that night that he watches Mel Brooks' Blazing Saddles every 6 months, whether he needs to or not. And after hearing the Gay Men's Chorus sing a song called You Can't Have New York Without Queens, Mr. Clinton laughed and said he hoped someone would write down the lyrics for him.
This is the end of the Don and Mike Show.